Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
The following cast.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfuckers?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like, literally, like, he can't deal with, like, two of me.
I start walking at home, and I said, fuck you, San Diego.
What the fuck, are they going to put a baby seal with a club in its head?
I don't know.
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm going to say nigga a lot, too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell outside of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's drink, and I still, that, like, I don't know, that shit just...
He turns around, I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of the movie?
What the fuck? That
sounded like some random ass person. The summer of the movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, hey, I'm doing this podcast, I'll talk to you in about 3 hours. And
she gave me I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you fucking degenerates? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Reddit.
And I'm Raging Gumby. I'm not going to go down that line.
Yeah, I don't really know what the point of this was. I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we'll obviously talk all about Pro Tour, Fate Reforged, and all the excitement that was there, changes to the Magic World Cup and subsequent World Championships. The final core set has been announced, and there is much rumors stirring. Can you actually get discounted Magic products in Target stores in Canada? Well, as that is the majority of our audience, we will find out tonight. David will recount us tales of SCG regionals in the Great California. Heavy Meta token update, and I will beg for your help to get to Toronto this year. But before any of those things happen, let's check in with the boys. How was the weekend? Did you see a lot of the Pro Tour?
I did. It was sweet. I actually really liked it. I thought it was very good. Apparently, we got a new coverage guy, Ian Duke. Apparently, he's Reed Duke's older brother. And that guy is fucking awesome. I don't know why they put him in and kept Rashad, but... One day he'll go.
He's the godfather of the GG's live system. He's like having John Madden out there, as I see it. Like, he's done the time.
He is John Madden, yes. Yes, that is the most accurate description I have ever heard of Sean. Okay, that makes sense. I get it. If you want him to be John Madden, I will accept him.
Hopefully this is a good way to find out if Mishra's Photoshop is actually a listener of our podcast, because there's your next Photoshop challenge. I want to see the Rashad John Madden interwoven spectacular.
Hells make, yeah.
Make that milk chocolate photo and let us see what he would be like. I actually caught a surprising amount of it. You know, normally I try to watch more on Friday and Saturday because I enjoy the preliminary rounds a lot more. You know, the diversity in the decks, not just all the focus on top eight. But I was pretty busy last weekend. I really only caught Sunday, and I actually caught a lot more of Sunday than I was expecting to catch. Well, what about you, Kevin?
It's kind of funny. I got to, I was so amped on the Pro Tour while I was working on Friday. Which, I mean, it is a bummer. Like, I get, you know, the reason for it, but the Pro Tour comes around and fucking the event, you know, starts. Everything gets going on Friday, and I got to fucking work on Fridays. So I was having to catch it through Twitter, but luckily, like, what I was doing all day at work was fucking running a forklift. And so for the most part, I had to sit there while my guy was, like, welding shit together, and then I'd run, you know, another beam up for him. So I could just kind of hang out, check Twitter, and see what was going on with stuff. The first modern match, that the Burn versus Burn match, I actually got to watch about half of that match on my phone on Twitch and explain to my coworkers what was happening, which is kind of nice, just doing commentary for it. I was just like, man, I did better commentary than those guys did, but that's probably because I know this deck better than they do, and I'm more entertaining. just explaining it to fucking people that know nothing about Magic. But then I basically just had to check in throughout the day. And then Saturday came along. I didn't get a chance to watch it during the day. That was Friday night. I was able to actually put the stream on after work because I kind of planned on fucking playing Magic that night with my brother-in-law. I was like, oh man, David's leaving town. I'll just hit Daniel up. Daniel's never really doing anything. He's always down to play Magic. So I'll hit Daniel up. So I talked to my wife at lunch and I was like, hey, I want to play Magic tonight. She's like, oh, okay, you know, cool, whatever. But I forgot to hit Daniel up. So just assuming that
typical Kevin
Battle.
Yeah.
You know, I just forgot to hit him up because I assumed when I was like, hey, man, I want to play some Magic. Like, fuck yeah, and come over. So, I get off work and I hit Daniel up and he's like, oh, man, I can't do it tonight. I made plans. He's like, can we do tomorrow night? And my wife was just like, yeah, since you were going to play Magic, I'm going out to dinner with, you know, with a friend of hers. So I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and play Moto. Fuck everybody else. She's taking fucking Brody with her. I'm just going to fucking sit here and play Magic online, grind some games, and have a good time. Well, right after I left, went to the store to get some booze to get the night started, and then fucking Josh hits me up. And fucking, you guys know Josh from getting his wiener out and putting it on David Fame.
that's how we know him, yeah.
That's the best subtitle line ever. Like, if he's a documentary, that's how he'd be referred to.
Yes, from getting his wiener out and putting it on David Fame. he hits me up. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. You should come over. We'll play some Magic. He's like, I got to work tomorrow, but I'm always down for a couple cocktails. So he comes over and we just proceed to sit here all fucking, you know, most of the evening and bullshit. Well, about the time he's leaving and Sarah comes home from dinner and she gets a couple drinks in her and fucking, I had put coverage on, but then we just sat out in the back room fucking bullshit. And well, I go in and Sarah's just sitting there fucking kind of looking at Facebook and watching coverage. And I was like, baby, you can change this if you want to. And she's like, I'm good. And then, like, the more she had to drink, the more she was just, like, getting into it. She's like, what the fuck is this guy? This guy's an idiot. I can't fucking stand this guy. Had nothing to do with Magic whatsoever. Fucking, what's his name? Wilger?
Oh, yeah,
Or whatever that dude's name. Jaeger, whatever the guy's name is. She's just like, I think he's kind of cute. I remember seeing him on a fucking match, and I was like, all right, let's look it up and find out. And then I pulled up pictures of him on fucking Google, and she's like, oh, no, never mind. But she was all about, she's like, that's my guy. Hopefully he does good. And so we're sitting there just, I actually watched the fucking replay pretty much most of the day worth of the replay and don't remember a fucking thing about what was happening in the games because my wife and I were sitting on the couch getting drunk, watching coverage and making fun of the fucking players. I wish to God I would have fucking just videotaped the whole thing. She lost her shit when Sivka came on. She's all, who the fuck is this guy? And I was just all, my wife hates Sivka too. Sweet. Like, it was fun.
So I had a blast with my wife watching coverage and not actually absorbing any of the magic that happened whatsoever while it was going on. Because by that time, I'm tanked, and I don't know what the fuck is going on with this amulet deck or what the fuck is going on. Like, game state, I'd look over, and I'm like, I know what cards those are, but I don't really know what's going on.
Did you happen to see the burn mirror, though?
The burn mirror I watched at work. First round, I watched that
with Seth Manfield, yeah.
And I was so fucking excited about that. It was great. I was like, God damn it, that's why I love burn. This fucking deck is amazing. It's so much fun. But so I basically got to catch pieces and parts of games and check in with everybody on Twitter. But it was actually probably more coverage than I've watched in quite a little bit, at least since like the last Pro Tour. Between paying close attention to what was going on, and especially because, you know, the whole time I'm checking in to see how Jess and KYT were doing and see how Ray was doing and all that good stuff too. So it was, I was really involved in it, and had the timing been a little bit better, like, if I wasn't hungover all day Saturday and then was like actually trying to get some shit accomplished around the house, I would have probably tuned in and sat there and watched it. But I'd really like to one of these fucking, maybe next Pro Tour, actually get David over here and maybe Daniel or something like that, and just do, like, you know, we talked about before, like fucking barbecue and fucking watch Pro Tour coverage. I think that shit would be fun.
That's the best, man.
Then again, the problem is, like, awesome. I think the biggest problem with it is, like, doing it kind of like a fucking, like a Super Bowl party sort of thing. But, you know, Magic coverage is like, it depends on where the fuck the Pro Tour is being held at, because nobody wants to come over to my house at fucking, you know, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to fucking start getting drunk and watch Pro Tour coverage. But if it's somewhere where, like, you know, we could start watching it in the evening, then maybe that'd be a different story.
Yeah, it's all day. It's all day long. You just tell people come over whenever you want. You catch that.
Oh, no. I get
it. It's slow, man. It's slower than baseball, you know?
Oh, for sure. But, like, I mean, even if it were like, all right, cool, watch the later rounds and stuff in the afternoon. The timing thing, I think, is just the biggest issue with, like, having a bunch of people, you know, having some Magic friends over and making kind of an event with it. It's like, oh, man, it'd be cool to just fucking barbecue or order some pizzas and fucking drink beers and watch the Pro Tour. But it kind of needs to fall in that nice little fucking convenient area between, like, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and like 9 o'clock at night. Like, at least the shit that you're going to watch, you know, nobody wants to come over and get drunk to watch the Pro Tour at fucking 9 o'clock in the morning. And then it's like, all right, cool. Well, the sun's going down and the Pro Tour is over for the day. So now what are we going to do?
Good point. I got a chance to watch most of it. I thought the modern stuff was really interesting. Very, very surprising that Team Geist was nowhere to be seen.
No shit.
I did have a very interesting observation, which was I watched Channel Fireball's, I don't know, they have their Fire TV or whatever, Channel Fireball TV shows, and I watched them talk about the decks the week before, and they did the video the week of testing before the Pro Tour, and they basically laid out almost exactly the metagame, and then they made that metagame happen at the Pro Tour, which is my comment on large teams, I think, are just bad for Magic overall. I just think it makes for a boring thing. Like, I think this is my take, that if they didn't do that, then, you know, 50% of the field wouldn't have been freaking junk, and people would have played more, it would have been more exciting, there would have been more breath to it.
You really think that a group of 10 or 12 players has, I mean, and this is a group of 10
it's
or 12
10
players.
Or 12. It's not 10 or 12. It's like 40 guys, dude. Come on. There's the two Fireball teams, then there's face-to-face. They're all in the same room together, right?
I mean, I don't know if it had ballooned to that many players this time around, and I don't even think that uniformly within a team that size, there's a chance, unless, you know, they break a format, of everyone playing the same deck. That's not
what I'm saying, because I agree, there's people that choose to play decks because they like that style. But what it does do is they sit there and they say there's five decks, you know, and
there's the five best decks. They're trying to determine exactly what the first tier of the format is. And that's a pretty diverse first tier for most formats. I mean, I think if you really ask competitive players how many formats have five tier one decks, five is a lot. And I think that's debatably even off in our own assessment.
I think,
but
I
then
think
again,
there could
I don't
be
really,
more.
I don't believe in half tiers and any of that bullshit either, but let's say, sure, there are five decks that you could expect to win the tournament with. That's already, I feel like, a lot to begin with. So what's wrong? Or so go from there. What's wrong
okay,
with that?
Okay, so what I really like is, like, you look at the crazy Japanese brewer. I mean, they're playing Humble Defector and shit in Grixis Twin. Like, those are the exciting decks that in a large, like, you get a 40-50 man team together, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, the optimal build of this deck is this card, or these 60 cards. And I love seeing the brews. I love seeing, like, the craziness. So for me, I really don't like the big teams. I would rather just be all splintered up and let people come in with crazy shit. Because Modern is becoming very much like Legacy, where any deck could win. There's, like, you saw it, man. There's a lot of decks. I think it's way more than five. I think there's a lot of decks that can just come out of nowhere.
There was a ton of diversity this time around, which I really, really liked. And yeah, to that end, look at someone like Pat Chapin. I mean, that guy, he played his own.
I don't know what. Okay, you've met Chapin. What the fuck was he thinking? Because I don't know if he, like, I have no money and I'm building a, like, what? What the fuck was that?
Patrick's really good at playing his own brews and kind of going to the beat of his own drum. I mean, I think that he is even more kind of a wild card than someone like Conley Woods, who really defines their Magic playing career by playing rogue decks. I mean, Patrick's always done that, and he's going to play Control. It's kind of one of those things where you're talking about people that are kind of married to a particular deck in a particular format. They're going to play it. He's going to play that particular archetype, and that's why, to me, those teams are, it's really important to have those role players to be like, okay, well, what's the best weird combo deck? Like, let's have somebody on the team to test that. And it's not about 20 guys all in the same room, you know, kind of eliminating things out of a hat until they're like, okay, this is the 75 we're all going to play. It's about getting a really good feel for the format. You know, knowing a deck like Junk or Abzan is probably going to set the standard for the format, and then making choices surrounding that. And I think that people go to varying degrees of different things. I don't think this tournament was very stale at all. And in fact, I think it was one of the most diverse tournaments possibly ever in terms of the Pro Tour, just on how many, even just in the Abzan or Junk decks, the variety within those decks were so different. I have no complaints in terms of what we saw.
I'm not necessarily saying it's stale. I just don't like that, like, there were a lot of decks. I just want to know why Team Geist and, like, the blue-white-red deck just was a no... It was a no-show. I don't know...
Do you think that deck is a favorite over any of the five decks you would consider be in the first tier of Modern currently?
From what I've learned watching, like, obviously the Team Geist guys, Scotty and Jason and Larry and that, like, they it's like Chapin. Those guys play that deck. That's their deck. They've built it. They've tuned it. They can probably play it better than anyone else, so maybe they're bias on their choice, although I've seen what the deck can do. I think it's very good. I was even reading Sean, what's his name that won the last Pro Tour?
McLaren.
I was reading his article on why he didn't have success and what, because he wanted to play that type of deck. And I think a lot of people just, they wrote it off. They were like, Siege Rhino was too powerful and that's it. And that's where I think, like, you get a big team, they jump on something and they just start saying this is the best without really testing anything, because I hate to say it, but I agree with a lot of people on Twitter. I don't think pros like Modern. I think they hate Modern and they don't put the time to do it. So they just say, fuck it, this is the deck. And then that suddenly becomes, oh, well, half a Channel Fireball is playing Abzan, SCG or another big team is like, well, we better look at what they're doing and maybe play something similar. And I think it takes away from the fact that there's a lot more stuff out there. I think Modern is one of the most unexplored formats in Magic right now. And I think, I don't know.
I would postulate that it's a little of both. I mean, the whole point of the Pro Tour is that you're dangling the largest carrot possible for these guys to want to know a format inside and out. And I think, you know, a great example of a match that you saw in coverage where, again, like, there is still room to learn this format with, like, the Sifka-Cheon match, where so many of Paul's cards just didn't match up well against so many of Sifka's cards. And that was because, again, the format is so diverse and there's still room to explore it, despite the fact that I really feel like these guys took as much time as they could. I mean, Paul's kind of a bad example because he had, you know, 5 days total of prep time. But that's the point of the Pro Tour. The point of the Pro Tour is, like, look, the money is there. And I think that universally among all those players, that dollar amount is still worth taking a week, 2 weeks of their time to really crack down on this format as much as they can. And I think that the Team Geist example is a great example of what hard work can accomplish and how when a format evolves, maybe new opportunities are there, but it's not necessarily the best deck at any given moment. I think that if you look back at the history of the modern format, you take someone like Sam Pardee, who pretty much played Pod as long as it was legal, you know, at the height of its popularity, at the lowest point of its popularity, really brought the deck to the forefront when there were faster combo decks, better aggressive decks, you know, everything in between. Yeah. But he played thousands of matches and more cards got out there and he meant more people to tune it and build, make it better to the point where that, like, that became the standard of the format. And, you know, if you have the faith in a deck like this Team Geist deck, have potential to be that powerful, you just need those five or six guys that are going to grind literally thousands of matches to find what is that optimal build to be able to compete with the Infect decks, the Robot decks, the Twin decks, these new Zoo decks.
I agree. I think it's very interesting that on the last episode we were saying, I mean, Kevy backed out and said, "Nah, Burn's not going to do shit." And then Burn crushed
it. That was fucking ridiculous. I just didn't see Burn being strong enough in the format. And as soon as it was like, "Wow, shit, it is." Like, I mean, I always have faith in the deck. I always think it's a great deck. But I really thought, and I'll stand by that. Like before the Pro Tour happened, I really thought that it just didn't really have a place right now.
So I'll give you a tip on why I think Burn did well. Everybody used to run 4 ley line. And on Magic Online, again, a lot of people, they did touch on this. On Magic Online, Burn is just everywhere. You can't, if your sideboard doesn't have something that is just going to shut Burn down, then you just fucking lose dailies because it's just what it is, right? And well, in real life, maybe it's not the same.
The thing with ley lines, too, is like, I mean, ley lines are a good thing to shut Burn down for the most part, but like, there's so many effective ways to like get around it now.
Can you draw the thing that Leyline does that a lot of like the Burn argument that I'm gonna board in 4 cards that are gonna kill it is not an argument because you have to draw one of those 4 cards.
Which is fine, but the biggest thing that people forget about Leyline is the reason fucking, you know, people fucking board in Leyline. Nobody ever casts Leyline for its casting cost. They mulligan down till they have one in their opening.
Jacob Wilson did.
It'll happen every once in a while, but like for the most part, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, I got Leyline, that'll just shut Burn down, and that's great. But when you mulligan down to, you know, 4, 5, or 4 cards to get that in your opening hand, and you're like, oh sweet, there's one, cool, now I'm safe. I mean, I've still got, you know, Goblin Guides. I've got Swift Spears aren't going to do a whole lot for me because I can't cast a lot of these Burn spells.
Yeah, you just point them at your own head. Did you see Seth?
Yeah, I mean,
so when Seth Manfield started burning himself to get damage in, I was like, wow, dude.
It can happen. In weird situations, it can happen. But it's I mean, that's what's nice is the fact that, like, I mean, it's harder to get around. But when somebody, you know, mulls down and kind of neuters themselves to get a ley line out, you know, they think they're safe. And I mean, you've got creatures that can swing in and you're filling your hand up with burn spells. And then when you draw that wear tear or you draw the destructive revelry to get rid of the fucking ley line, you've got a grip full of basically burn spells. Like at that point, like, wait, said turn 4, 5, 6. Like, I've got the land out, and I've got the cards. I've filtered through all the shit that I, you know, cool, another land, I don't need it. I'll keep these burn spells. And then when I get rid of it, then that turn, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, modern,
they're doing something too, right? Like, they're going to try to beat you, so you may,
for sure.
In a vacuum, you have time.
You neuter yourself a lot, like, by siding. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's a fucking terrible defense. I mean, it works. It's fucked me a lot of times. But I think that a lot of people, I guess coming from like the Burn players perspective, a lot of people, that's just everybody I talk to, they're just like, oh, well, I'll just side in ley lines and I'm good. Like, no, you're not. Like, I've beaten a ley line I don't know how many times because it doesn't, you know, because
you're so used to it, right? Like, you know, that's the go-to defense.
Right. I know how to get around it. I know how to play around it, and it's not as big of a deal. And depending on what I'm playing against, you know, like, go to sideboard, it's like, okay, I know what I'm playing against, so I can side in shit, you know, to like side in shit to get rid of the fucking enchantment. But then I could also, depending on what, you know, whether you're fucking creature deck and you're trying to hide behind a ley line, great, we'll play in Snaring Bridge too. You know, like shit like that. It's, I mean, I still have ways to get around it, and I find that like ley line isn't the, it's probably the best answer out there, like sideboard answer out there, but it's just not as scary as like a lot of like non-burn players think it is. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I got answers to that. You got answers to burn. I got answers to that. It's not a big deal. And I've still got enough creatures. You know, I run Goblin Guide, Swift Spear, and Vexing Devil, and right now I think that's – well, Bob, too.
Yeah, dump and, Bob, man. Get rid of Bob.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Well, I've toyed with it. Like, it's – I've got kind of a Nia
kill,
build right
kill,
now.
Kill Bob for Humble Defector.
I endorse yeah. that. I like that. You also save, like, $75 a head on those.
Yeah, I do run 4 collateral damage, too, though, so, like, that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It just it, that card, like when I saw him, what was his name? I can't remember the Japanese name. Mashira, is that it? Mm-hmm. When he cast Humble Defector, I was just like, "Holy fuck balls! Someone yeah. is here to play." I love it. I was like, "Wow,
that is pretty good." Hey, you know what I fucking saw that I was really fucking stoked on is like I touched on fucking mutagenic growth. Like when I started getting mm-hmm. like running just the like the Nia build. I thought about mutagenic growth, and then I was like, eh, no, I'm not going to do that. Because I was looking at it more of as an offensive thing for the most part. Like, oh, I could pump and fucking get in, you know, swing in a little bit harder, but I don't want to fucking take up a slot for that, so I'm not going to. But seeing that fucking save your goblin guide from the bolt and fucking punch through 4 damage instead of 2 was pretty fucking sweet. And I was like, oh, I might have to buy some of those, and
yeah, I think
I
it's
might
a,
have
it's
to mess
a,
around.
Some pure tech and then some for that particular card. I mean, with Monastery yes. Spear, the ability to tap out all the time, and again, you're playing a few more creatures. You have the opportunity for all kinds of sick 2-for-1s with that card.
Well, the best mirror tech in the entire event was Li Shi Chan running Core Firewalker in a burn deck.
Yeah.
What fuck?
I found a few foil copies sitting in my old like box when they were like 50 cents each. Now they're like $10.
Oh.
I was like,
oh.
Time
so
to,
funny.
Boys.
That was wicked. I've done that before too. Core Firewalker is just so badass. I love that card.
Of the burn deck, I think that a lot of people coming into this tournament, usually there's 2 reasons to play a deck like that at a level like the Pro Tour. One is, you know, if you don't know a format well. If you don't know a format very well, you're not necessarily sure what you're going to see. One of the better aggressive decks to play all the time, hands down, is Burn. So sometimes when you see players piloting those decks in tournaments, maybe it's they didn't have a lot of time to test, but they know, you know, counting to 20 is not always that difficult. But another thing is when a format goes from really narrow to really wide and diverse, you know, here we're coming off of bannings. The expectations are, you know, you could see any assortment of cards. Being able to have effective sideboard against the Burn deck, being able to have effective stopping to an early game of any variety is going to be tougher. So it was a surprisingly strategically smart choice to play Burn at this event, which none of us were expecting. Definitely, I don't think no one picked that as the deck.
No,
right, right.
You know, out of what 200 people, someone's maybe what 5% of the field might be playing Burn, but to see it on camera. Wow. Mm-hmm. Like
that big.
Yeah, it was like blood. This was Kevy Metal's fucking Pro Tour. Blood
oh, dude,
Moon
I was,
and
I
Burn everywhere. Just
I was
fucking
I was
everywhere.
A blast with all of the Burn running around, and of course, Blood Moon. Touching on Core Firewalker, too, like, that's one of the things, because, like, that tech, then it's like, oh, good, now everybody's going to play Core Firewalker. And I was talking a little bit on Twitter, but one of the things that I've got, like, this huge crush on the card Deathmark, right? The art is, like, probably my favorite Magic art out there. The card isn't really good. It's fucking, I mean, like, until now, like, as a sideboard card, it's like, you know, as the metagame shifts, all of a sudden bad cards become good or decent. You know, it's kind of a silver bullet, but it's also not when you look at the format right now. And so I was like, oh, man, I was like, I got a crush on this card anyway. I wish it was good, but it's not. But then, like, in the situation, I was like, oh, man, this is kind of nice. Because with fucking junk being the go-to fucking colors at this point, and the go-to deck at this point in modern for most people, unless you're playing Burn, that's like, I was like, oh man, dude, it sucks because it's sorcery speed, but fucking one black to destroy a green or a white creature is fucking sweet. And so, I mean, that takes care of Ooze, that takes care of Rhino, that takes care of Goyf, like, but then, like, looking at, you know, which is, like, the reason I threw 2 on my sideboard and started including it and fucking around with it. But then it's like, you know, they brought up the Core Firewalker thing. Somebody on Twitter was talking about that. They're like, oh, yeah, Core, you know, do you have any Core Firewalkers in your burn deck yet? That might even have been you, Maddie.
It probably was.
But it was like, I was like, oh, man, cool. Then that's another card that I can get rid of because, you know, burn, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get rid of a fucking Core Firewalker with a fucking mainly red fucking burn deck, but there's removal to get
through
it.
That's true.
And so it's actually, like, I haven't got to get a lot of testing in with it because I haven't fucking been able to test much in the last fucking week or two. But it's the little bit that I have, it's nice. It actually works out
pretty well.
Sorcery
speed is just such a detriment. In
yeah, I don't, it is. I don't know whether Deathmark shouldn't just be like not well. Disfigure is fine too, but no, not Doomblade.
Oh, the other one. Go for yourself.
Dismember.
Dismember, though, man.
Dismember,
The loss of life is so.
What do you care in a burn deck? If you're losing a race in a burn deck, like that's not the card you're going to be bringing in against a deck that you're worried about losing a race in.
And you've got a good point there. That's one of the things that like I went to Deathmark like kind of default because it like for that purpose because I've got a personal attachment to the card and I was like wanting it to be good. But the whole time I've had that in there, I've been thinking like this probably could be a better card. I just don't know what it is at this point. But I, you know, maybe that's, you know, like Dismember is a good answer.
What are you killing with Deathmark that Dismember doesn't kill in this format?
Exactly.
Primeval Titan maybe, but
it's about not taking seven off of a Siege Rhino.
Yeah. That's
yeah. True.
Yeah,
that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
well, you don't take seven off of a Siege Rhino, but the big deal with Siege Rhino is like it's gonna be a problem either way if they resolve it. But there's cards like Baneslayer Angel and everything. But the big thing is that you can do it at end of turn and it doesn't disrupt what you're doing on your next turn.
Right, right.
I'm not saying that it is better. I'm just saying like that's a viable card that can still answer those cards that you're talking about.
So
no, and that's exactly kind of that's why I wanted to bring it up is to kind of get you guys' thoughts on it.
That are problematic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
and that's why I thought green and white, like the fact that it hit green and white was, you know, in this particular meta right now, the fact that it hit green and white was, you know, a huge thing because that's pretty much what I'm worried about for the most part, like as far as creatures go. But exactly, there are other problematic creatures out there. And there are things that, like I said, that's why I brought it up is because I'm liking it, but at the same time, I feel like there's a better fucking card in that slot.
Yeah,
Murderous Cut's nice.
Cut would be actually
cut in that slut.
Murderous
Cut would actually
would
be good.
Nice.
Your graveyard's so full so quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd run
like,
that
essentially
over.
Essentially, it's one black, but it destroys any creature.
Yeah.
And
right. Cut for sure. Yeah, over Dismember.
I think Cut is just clearly a better inclusion.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
And you can kill a prime time with it.
I can kill all sorts of shit with it.
So you know something that I
now David, did you actually catch any of the coverage?
I've said it plenty of times. I don't watch a lot of coverage. Plus, plus Saturday I was driving down to Fresno and so.
Yeah, you had other things. You had your own magic.
I headed to regionals. I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and drove down to Fresno.
I knew damn good and well that it was a good idea that I decided not to go to regionals. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go anywhere, let alone Fresno, is just a fucking bad idea.
So what do we think that Modern Masters 15, 20? Well, first of all, let's talk. How the hell do you have a Modern Pro Tour with Modern Masters 2015 coming in less than 3 months, and you don't talk about it or give any spoilers?
I like how we just steamrolled David's fucking, hey guys, I played regionals this week. Well, then again, we're going to bring that up later.
We're going to get to regionals.
It's further down the show notes, my friend.
That's true.
we're in Modern.
Good segues be damned. We're sticking to this list.
Yeah, no shit. We will sacrifice a good segue just so that we could actually stay on track.
Well, then by the end of the show, we don't know which points we've touched on. It's like, where the fuck? I don't know where we are. But what did you guys think? Like, no Modern Master spoilers?
All I'm going to say is I told you that Splinter Twin did not lose anything off of
That's true.
Treasure Cruise and everything. I felt like that was going to be one of the better decks.
I think we agreed it was the best combo deck out there. We just weren't sure how good aggro decks were going to be. I mean, I think universally we didn't feel like a control deck had a shot in this environment. Surprise, surprise, the top eight was chock full of aggressive decks and combo decks. Nothing.
I'll tell you what. None of us called Amulet. That's for sure. That came out of nowhere.
That is true. As much as I was like, oh, I think I'm going to see some Seedra.
I still don't even know how that deck works.
Basically, Amulet of Vigor means that everything that comes into play tapped comes into play untapped. So you play a bunch of Karoo lands and things that let you play multiple lands in one turn, and you throw a bunch of them out, and you ramp like ridiculous amounts of mana in one turn and drop a Primeval Titan. And then
you go fetch your haste land and your double strike land, and you kill them that turn. Essentially, that's what you do.
I mean, talk about the top deck of the entire event. I don't think there was anything more exciting than Justin Cohen looking at the top four cards of his library and finding Slayer's Stronghold and Vesuva when that was exactly the two cards he needed to win that game. If you want to talk about excitement.
Oh, shit. Is Slayer's Stronghold going to get expensive now? Because I got a whole bunch of those.
No. I would really hope so. I have a foil one that I used to play in my cube that I'd like to be worth more than the $2 it's worth now. But that deck needs to go ahead and win a tournament before we have a shot at that happening, I feel like.
Yeah, no shit. That
deck reminds me of one of those decks that is just, it's good, but it's extremely complicated and hard to play. And I think most players just will get frustrated trying to play it as good as those guys.
You have to kind of shift like your thought process mostly because like your land drops are not really like regular land drops. They're more kind of like you get the chance to play rituals, which is why the card like Summer Bloom is really like add 6 mana to your mana pool, not put 3 lands into play, which enables the Titan combo. Obviously, they complicated things slightly more this time around to have the alternate win condition of Hive Mind, which going forward for consistency's sake, I don't know if that will be the case. That's definitely more of a pro tour style innovation where you're going to be able to surprise somebody and come at them from two angles where, you know, if they're expecting Primeval Titan to be the win condition, you have the Hive Mind back up, and now the deck is really out there, you may see some kind of adjustments made accordingly.
I don't know. I thought how they transmute for packs was just sweet. That just felt like it would made the deck way smoother.
Oh, I mean, you definitely need that to be part of the eight plan, I feel like. I mean, being able to get a Pact of Negation the turn you go off, being able to, I mean, effectively have more copies of Primeval Titan in your deck, all of those things I think are very important. I just don't know if the Hive Minds come out in a more aggressive field in order to be able to kind of live long enough to just do your own plan and not be susceptible to, you know, to things like Splinter Twin. You know, obviously the top eight matches that we saw there, those sideboards weren't prepared for those matches. Why a lot of those games felt like they were ships passing in the night, really. Whereas it's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing something completely different. We'll see if anything kind of lines up. Which is even more surprising that, you know, 35,000 people were watching Magic on Sunday where no one was interacting with each other other than, you know, there were some games, but overall it was not that interactive.
Yeah, well, that's my biggest complaint. I mean, that's, you know, people, they don't like that Wizards is trying to move towards a creature-heavy combat kind of system, but that's it. Then you get to actually play instead of you do your thing while I sit here and watch you.
I mean, there were some funny comments over the course of the weekend. I think that as many people as they complained about the Amulet deck, Paul Reitzel kind of summed it up where he was like, look, I can't believe people are complaining about a deck that plans on winning by casting a creature and then attacking with it. Like, come on, people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, subsequently, you've got people being like, oh, you know, now they're just going to ban the card that wins the tournament and, you know, we're just going to fuck the whole thing up for everybody again. And it's like, well, it kind of gives you an idea of why they originally wanted all the Pro Tours to be standard and draft. Because in a bigger picture, Modern can't exist as it is and make everybody happy. So I don't, you know, in the long term, something is going to happen. Something's going to change. And you can only hope that the players that are out there that are really active are just happy that they get to play with all these cards and have such a diverse metagame, regardless if that means, you know, 6 to 8 weeks from now, your favorite card isn't going to be legal anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to please anybody, even if you stick to standard and draft. Like, everyone's always going to bitch about the format.
Well, yeah, everybody got
it's not healthy. There's only three popular decks.
It's just boring.
So, but the thing is, my point is yes, I don't care whether they ban cards right before the Modern Pro Tour. Like, we need one of these things to be modern. Let the people bitch. They're going to bitch about something or other. And, you know, unban the cards and, you know, change up the format. And I think that's basically all they're trying to do is to keep the format, different each time the Pro Tour runs around, so that way you don't have a recurring Pro Tour with all the same decks.
I like how it worked out. I mean, you're never going to make everybody happy, but I like how it worked out. Like, I think we've all kind of, you know, talked about, like, on Twitter and shit, like, this Pro Tour was fucking fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
It was good to see because there's diversity in it. And hey, if you've got a fucking ban and unban cards to break that fucking stale, because I mean, you know, it trickles down. Like the pros figure this shit out, then the rest of us go through and tune these decks. You know, just grinding matches out, whether it be fucking your cat, you know, casual, competitive, whatever. Grinding.
I thought you said fucking your cat right there.
I heard that.
I can go with grinding your cat out, which felt even more awkward.
Aw, the poor pussy.
God damn it. Oh, God. Danger kitty.
This is what makes standard, you know, the foolproof format. Because even if 51% of the people hate it at any given moment, it can't exist for that long. And if you even look further forward, the way the format is going to be and sets are going to be dropping off all the time, you're eliminating a lot of the feel bads where people are like, man, I don't want to play right now because, you know, Twin's going to be the best deck for fucking years. And they're really going a long way to prevent that from being the case, at least in standard. And it makes sense why they would want the Pro Tours to be that way. And how can modern adapt? Eventually, my feeling is somewhere down the road, they will have to change the goalpost markers as to what that format is. But no one wants to hear that right now.
No, please don't. Just leave modern alone, man. Fuck, it's doing great. Just don't ban shit, unban stuff.
I'm looking too far in the future here. I should.
Could be. But what do we think, though, about not getting, because I'm a huge guy, like, for Pro Tours, yeah, the deck was great. I think the format was cool. I think coverage was all right, minus Rashad. But the big thing we turn in for is, like, the spoilers. Like, what are you going to give us? This is the stage. Everyone's here. We're all waiting for you to talk. And
I don't turn in for that shit because I know that you motherfuckers, if I miss it, you motherfuckers are going to tell me on Twitter.
Well, it's for me. I like that.
I tune in to watch the fucking actual, like, good Magic be played. And then I just let Twitter tell me that, like, oh, sweet, we got fucking spoilers for this or we didn't get spoilers for this. It's a lot faster to just fucking, you know, check Twitter.
I just felt it was really weird that we got, I mean, it's cool. Magic Origins sounds really interesting, but no, I can't believe they wouldn't. How about, like, that's the time we just say, hey, guys, you know, Modern is really expensive. Tarmogoyf's coming back. Don't worry, we got you. Then all those people watching the portrait are like, holy shit, I'm pre-ordering right now Modern Masters boxes.
Well, I mean, Maddie, you do remember that we have a very tiny window here between Pro Tours, which is a very unique set of circumstances, that the next set is coming out so close in the window that by the time the next Pro Tour happens, which is probably like fucking 7 or 8 weeks from now, the way things are going.
No, it's not 7 weeks. It's like 3 months, isn't it?
No, not at all, because Dragon's Bay, or sorry, what the equivalent of Dragon's Bay is this time, Dragons of Tarkir, there we go. Is coming out end of March, right?
Yeah, the pre-release is on my birthday, so
holy
that's
shit.
March 21st.
Okay, well.
Yeah, so you know, we mentioned on the show a week or two ago where, you know, the banning window is really, really tiny this time around as well. You know, we're gonna be back on this stage a lot sooner than we would be otherwise. And I was saying last week that we didn't even have an info sheet for the last core set, which is frustrating for me because I'm trying to plan events during the summer to know when shit is, and that's what kind of perked me up to interest on that. So, you know, giving us the basics of Magic Origins is nice, but it was like this gigantic cock tease, because it's like, okay, you're not going to show us more Modern Masters cards, and you're not even going to show us any of the cards from this big special core set thing you're doing. That was what really cheesed me off. It just showed nothing at all.
But to me, like, okay, if Dragons is coming out in 7 weeks, I would have teased Modern Masters and Dragons. Show us the Dragon Planeswalker. Show us fucking something cool. Like, why talk about Magic Origins? That makes no fucking sense to me. I don't get that. Talk about that at the next Pro Tour.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, they didn't really talk about it. They didn't tell you a whole lot.
Yeah, well, that's...
They just told you it was going to happen.
Yeah, I do dislike very much how they give you so little information. But
well, okay, let's try to put in perspective and put a positive spin on it.
All right.
They didn't tell us anything new. But now that we've seen results from this tournament, we've gone elbow deep in Modern for a weekend. We've all watched it. Have your expectations of Modern Masters 2015 changed at all? Are there now cards that have moved up your list in terms of that you want to see reprinted and have access to? Or is it more just like, hey, we all still know it's expensive, but that should happen?
I don't think that they're going to, like, on this short of notice, change anything that would have already been there.
Oh, no, they can't change it. But I'm saying, as us as an audience, is there anything changed, your priorities changed?
In my opinion, we need more expensive cards reprinted at Rare. That's it. I know that sounds silly, but it's crazy.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Goyf's number one thing is Goyf is fucking retarded, and that card is everywhere. It is, I don't know, it's just very frustrating that you can't get, we talked about it last time, I don't want to regurgitate,
I stick by the Goyf thing I said last time. I don't see them reprinting it just because, like, they again, probably in won't. Modern Masters, but, it did, like, hit home a little bit more just, you know, in the last fucking week, just thinking about it and looking at stuff more, is it's like, you are right, it needs to be, like, not that I didn't think it needed to be reprinted, but, like, everything kind of drove your point home, like, something has got to happen with that fucking card. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it's so goddamn powerful, and, well, it, I mean, it's not, like, ridiculously overpowered. It's not like a
it's too good card, a card for two mana.
It's just, it's too good of a card to not have more easily available. And I will definitely give you that one. Like, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know where they're going to fit that fucking card in.
Corset, print it at Rare. That'll fix everything. But,
it's, Jesus Christ, man. That's like, it's just ridiculous. Cause, you know, it's like somebody posted on Twitter. I don't remember who it was, but just, you know, Sarah, it's like, it sucks. You know, I'm always four Goyfs off from any modern deck I ever want to build.
Yeah. That was Paper Show. Yeah.
That's right. And it's just, it sucks because that's the truth of it is like, I would love to be able to fuck, like, I shut out, like, every time I start trying to brew anything in modern or start trying to look at playing another deck besides fucking burn, I shut off, like, right off the bat because I'm like, oh, well, I can't afford Goyfs, so I don't really care to play anything else. And that's it. There's a lot of shit that I'd like to kind of experiment with, play with, you know, see how it goes. I'm not even going to come close to it because I just don't like, even if I started playing with a deck besides burn in modern that I liked, I wouldn't buy it anyway because I can't afford fucking Goyfs. Like even if I was like, all right, I'll proxy these up and I'll see how it goes. See if I really like this deck. Oh man, this deck is great, but I'm not going to spend a mortgage payment on a play set of Goyfs. It's not going to happen. So
I think that's a hard quote to top right there.
It is. It's the truth, man.
It's literally my mortgage payment is a little over $800.
There you go.
Like,
well, let's not talk about what other people's rents
are. All right, so let's
before we leave the Pro Tour, the one last thing I want to know is, you know, so many people have opinions up or down, complain quietly into their own fucking mouths or as loud as they can on as much of the internet as they can reach. But now, is modern more diverse and healthier than it's ever been? Is it some kind of amalgamation of prior iterations with all these decks out there and all these options out there? Do you think, where do you think the format is overall?
I think the format looks really good. I'm.
I mean, like, Maddie, you.
Is John Madden.
Of anyone, well, you champion playing this format more than anyone else. You're very into it. Has this event got you more excited to play more modern? Or are you just so hung up on not being able to get access to the good cards that it's all the same?
I'm trying. Well, this is the thing. So, I'm trying to put together decks that don't contain Goyf. That's, like Kevin said, that really is, you know, you're going to play a green deck. Wow, that's very hard to find a green machine without Goyf. And you know what? If you put fucking Goyf in green machine, it's fucking better deck. So that part is frustrating, but I think the format looks exciting. There's a lot of good choices.
When you see people going like, oh man, like trying to come up with replacements and actually still play like tier one decks, but come up with a replacement for the card. Like, oh man, can I just like use Hooting Mandrills as a fucking budget Goyf? Like, can I find any sort of replacement for this card? Cause I cannot afford that fucking card, but I still want, like, I can afford everything else that I fucking need in modern. Jesus Christ. You know, you can afford the land base, you know, like that's fine. It's just affording Goyf is so fucking horrendous that it's like, well, shit, I got to either find a substitute or play a different kind of deck. I mean, it sucks, but like, I don't think I still think, say, for you have to separate those two. Like, it's the format, I think, is healthy right now. If you can afford Goy, sure, fucking fine. I think the format's very healthy. I also think it's a fresh off the banning list, or, you know, fresh off the bannings format. This one did shake it up a lot more than previous ones, I think, by losing Treasure Cruise and Pod in the same fucking bannings. It really shook it up a bit. But, like, it's still, I'm down on the format, and I'm sure Matty is too, in the sense that, like, yeah, it sucks to have to fucking pay this kind of money for some of these cards to be able to have a tier one deck or more than one tier one deck. But the format itself, if you had the cards, if you were, say, like, playing on the fucking beta where you had fucking all of the cards, or if you were, you know, just if you're one of those people that has access to all of them, like, if, you know, luckily, like, David, for the most part, if I want to play a deck, I can borrow the cards from David to see if, you know, because he's got a huge collection. I think the format is healthy. Like, if you have access to the cards, I think the format itself.
Well,
is
yeah, let's not dwell on the cost of access to cards, but format.
I don't think the format was unhealthy previous to it. I think that it's just changed the format.
Format was a little stale,
Well, I mean, it feels that way because, yes, all of those decks were out there. Like, you've seen all those decks before, but there was tons of viable decks, which, yeah, to me, that's what a healthy format is. Like, anytime the format stays around with the same cards legal in it, yeah, you're going to get the same decks. I mean, Legacy hasn't changed all that much for a long time because people have found the strategies that they like and that work and that are powerful. And, yeah, you know all of those decks, but there's tons and tons, so you never know what you're going to run into. And to me, that's a healthy format. But what these bannings did is they switched up the type of decks that were viable tier one strategies. And so it's not a matter of a healthy format. It's a matter of it's a new format. Like, the certain decks you can't play, obviously, like Pod. And certain decks that were held down by Pod are now, you know, much more viable. So I don't think it changed the health of the format. I just think that it changed the, you know, the look of the format, and certain decks, you know, had a resurgence, and other decks, you know, became actual, you know, viable strategies. Like, Vile or Amulet has been around for a while, but it's never been a great deck.
I just think it needed Sam Black and Justin Cohen to pilot it. That's what I think. Because those guys
I've played that deck before, and it doesn't matter sometimes on the pilot. Like, if you get a retarded hand, like, it just, yeah, well, it,
or you just
sometimes it absolutely whiffs, or sometimes it just wins on, like, turn two. And, you know, either way, like, obviously a good pilot knows when to mulligan, when to keep, you know, they know certain outs so they can play towards that. But my whole point is basically, I think the format was healthy before. I think it was just, you know, like, kind of like you said, it was stale in the fact that, yes, all of those decks, you know, people had seen them time and time again, but not one deck was winning tournament after tournament and was half the format. The format was very wide open, and there were tons of different strategies that could take down a tournament on any given day. And to me, that's what a healthy format is.
I agree.
But I do think that it was a good thing to ban some cards and force people to, you know, play test, like, you know, some of these decks that did really well have not done well in a long time, like Amulet, like Infect, you know, like, these decks have not been making strong showings in Modern, and now they are. So
I think Infect in Legacy and what Tom Ross did to it is a very, very good reason why Infect was chosen for Modern. I think that guy definitely has found a way to play that deck. Although I guess I guess it was Become Immense was the thing that kind of pushed Infect over the top a little bit. That's what I feel. Like, I saw that deck being played before the Pro Tour online. I was even saying, like, man, that deck is fucking great. Become Immense is that card that just gave it that little more explosiveness that it needed. And that deck is good. I mean, it sucks. I still don't like Infect. I don't like playing against it, but
I mean, Become Immense is, to me, that's what really did it. I think that Infect with that could have done, you know, I don't think it was the banning of Pod that
no,
brought
it would
that
have
deck.
Been, yeah, it would have been still.
I think it would have been viable, you know, just with that one card.
Yeah, it's just soft combo. Like, I gotta be faster than you. That's what its goal is, right? And that's kind of like the whole thing. I think modern, to me, like, I've got most of the modern metagame gauntlet built online, and there's probably a good 25 decks. They're not all tier one, they range, but it's fun that you can just pick a deck, go in, and maybe you take it down. Maybe you tune it just right for that metagame or that, you know, GP or whatever you're playing in, and it's your weekend, man. I like it. I think modern's great. Just keep it up, man.
I think it's a good format.
All right, let's talk
about the Magic World right. Cup and the World Championships. Now, I feel like finally people at Wizards have listened to us and our show because when that event was happening last time around, as many listeners will recall, and those that don't, it's episode 100 and something because we talked about that not long ago. We complained kind of about how you jammed the World Championships and the Magic World Cup together. I feel like we kind of lost some of the luster of both events. It got drawn out for a really long time. Viewership kind of suffered from that. They listened to us. They've split it into two events.
Yes. And I think that is a brilliant move. I love it. We will see. I guess it's at PAX, right? Or is it just the
World Championships will now take place at PAX Prime at the end of August because, you know, Wizards is in Seattle, PAX Prime is in Seattle. It's kind of that natural marriage they've got going between those two events.
Now, I know some people online were telling me that that's the stupidest idea in the world because PAX Prime is already way overpacked. But I don't understand. That's if I was going to travel somewhere, I want to go to a show that's crazy. I want to go to a show that's packed. I want to go and see all this amazing stuff. Now, if PAX is just run shitty and they sell out in 2 minutes, then I don't know, make the damn show bigger, man.
Yeah, it's you know, tough to complain about having the problem is that we're too popular and we sell out too quickly. Maybe Seattle can't handle it. There isn't a good venue in that area for how big this thing could possibly get. And you could go down the road to Tacoma. There's a giant convention center there that no one wants to go to, but I don't think that would have the same kind of draw.
No, it's got to be in the right place. But I think this is great. That's not really the biggest earth-shattering announcement. Like I think that was just what was going to happen. Magic's growing to the point where you just can't cram those two events at one weekend. It's just, or even 1 week. It's just overkill. They need to be split up, man. I'm 100% agree with this.
I think this is better for both of those events. Yes, there has been a long time since there's been a 5-day Magic event. I mean, that was the old World Championships, and obviously the way Magic content is consumed has changed a lot since then. Now, this particular year, I'm not sure exactly how the breakdown is going to go because the World Championships actually takes place before the Magic World Cup. The Magic World Cup is still at the end of the year. It's in December. It's supposed to kind of close out the calendar year on Magic. But they've had some minor changes to the event invitation structure because now instead of the Rookie of the Year getting one of the spots at the World Magic Cup, it's never going to be easy to say. Actually, no, it does line up. The World Championships is the one that's in August. Okay, so the captain of the team, of the winning team from the Magic World Magic
Only
Cup.
Only for this one time.
Then what's going to happen?
He's not invited anymore. So Helen, basically the announcements was, because they'd already started this, they're going to let the cat, this is the last time that will occur. And then from then on, they've changed those two spots to at large. So.
Both of those spots to at large?
Yes. Which I disagree. I think the Rookie of the Year should have a spot. That's crazy. I mean,
that's kind of the big debate that comes out of this. What is the Rookie of the Year really getting?
Yeah, exactly. He's getting nothing. Well, he gets gold, but whatever. I mean, or.
He or she. He or she.
Oh man, when I say he, I mean she. Well, no, I don't. No, actually, that's.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me say no. I don't mean that, but. Come on, man. I mean people. Humans. let me get my foot out of my mouth right now.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, fuck. At least it ain't Mike Dick. Oh, brother.
No way, that was.
Yeah.
Is it a
he or she? Fuck you, David. Fuck you.
Perhaps a better question to ask here then is, what does Rookie of the Year mean? What should it mean? Because, you know, last year, or I mean, it feels like most prior years, the Rookie of the Year hadn't been achieving, you know, the gold level. So is this the strong compromise? Is this going to do it for that part of the program, or should we be looking for something else?
What do they expect? It's a rookie is new, so why do they expect a rookie to like take down platinum and win two pro tours? Like he's brand new, you know. He's a new guy. He's a rookie. So I think rewarding the Rookie of the Year is good. I think what they should give the rookie is something that allows him to play an entire season. Let him, and I think that's what Helen did, right? So by winning Rookie of the Year, you are invited to four pro tours, right? So at least they'll follow him, and it's a story they could tell. So I think that's great.
Okay, then right. Then no complaints. Yeah. I understand.
I think they give him some more money or something, but
okay, sure, why not?
I don't know. I think a lot of the pros. I know this is a weird thing where like as a non-pro, you look and say those pros are greedy. They get so much. But then when you like talk to them, you understand like they really don't get jack shit unless you're, you know, one of the top 1%. It's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to be platinum player to even consider like, oh, I'm going to play Magic for the next calendar year.
Yeah.
And so many people are trying to grind to that level. That's why, you know, the importance of sponsorships really comes into play. That's why you have to do that. So if you aren't one of those lucky players that has an opportunity, you should get some more out of it. And again, I keep wondering, like, where does Rookie of the Year fall? Is giving them gold, is that the best way to do it? It's a lot of pressure on those people that are coming out of that performance to try to get to do more.
I don't know. Really? I think that sounds good to me. If you get Rookie of the Year, you battled to get it, you want to stay on the train. That's the goal, right? Like if they give you a bunch of money but don't give you the chance to stay in the train, what would you rather want? I think I would want the invites, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you get to play the most Magic at the highest competitive level with this reward system, which makes sense. You know, if you had a really good year, you worked really hard, the next year is kind of gratis in that regard. You get to go to all those events. That makes sense. That's better than just a broken trophy.
A broken trophy. Ah, the ball. That was sweet. That was sweet. Yeah, I think it's good, man. I wish I could go to PAX. I know everybody keeps talking about it, and I just, how do I even fucking, if it sells out in 5 minutes online, like, how do you get to one of those shows? Do you have to know someone?
Well, they keep adding, they add more PAXes. That's the way they've been trying to solve the problem.
What, how many are there? There's six now a year, or something like that, or four?
I mean, there's a South, which is Texas. There's East, which is Boston. There's Prime, which is Seattle. And there's PAX Australia.
Okay, how about PAX fucking cold polar bear winter? Like, let's do that. I'm up here.
PAX North.
Yeah, PAX North, man. Pack it in the North. Nah, not in Saskatoon. Fucking put it in Toronto. Let's make it happen.
We'll do PAX California, PAX Nevada, PAX Utah.
Oh, PAX.
We'll just start
PAX Nevada.
We'll start putting them everywhere.
Dude, PAX. First of all, can I say something, Helen? I know you don't listen to the show, but I think you do. PAX.
I know you don't, but I think you do.
I think she makes reference to things. I'm like, maybe you heard it from someone else. But anyway, your third party source was telling you about these crazy guys. PAX Las Vegas. Okay, or like I get it. You've heard you're making Modern Masters in Vegas. This is going to be insane. It's going to be awesome. I would hope that if Modern Masters goes as well as we all think it is, and it's 6,000-8,000 people there, and it's bonkers. How much of a case is that making for then saying, okay, let's fucking take it to the next, let's make it a PAX event, let's talk to these guys.
No, they're gonna, like, if this goes off better than the last time.
Oh, yeah, it will.
And this, like, if this surpasses what they would expect for a second fucking GP Vegas, they're just gonna use Vegas for the fucking, like, the Modern Masters every
year. Oh, they have to. They have to. It is the best place to do it. It is so smart to do it there. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I don't think they're going to put a fucking PAX fucking thing there. They're just going to do fucking...
Why?
They'll be like, all right, every other year we're going back to Vegas.
Why? So I can't have my dream? So I can't have my dream of, like, spending a week?
You can't have your dreams, Maddie. God damn it, we're adults here. You don't get to have dreams.
God, I know, right? Fuck you. Your dreams are over, man. You should have lived those dreams in your 20s, man. You're fucked.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, well, let's... Let's talk about the core set, because I thought that was pretty interesting that they changed it to Magic Origins.
It's not a core set. It's Magic Origins.
Well, yeah, it's not a core set. It is the last whatever. Actually, maybe someone brought up a good idea on Twitter. They were like...
M15 was the last core set. We're having that, MTG Origins.
Someone brought up a very interesting point, which is they made it Magic Origins because it is the last core set, in air quotes, that is going to fit in the current block structure slot. But they made it Origins because if it does well, and this, the way they're building this set, they can make this a supplemental release that falls outside, like, kind of like a Conspiracies. So, for future use, right? And I thought that was interesting. Now, they did say that we're getting two mechanics that have never been seen before. Whichever the fuck that means, isn't every new mechanic a new mechanic?
I gotta stop you there. All right, stop you there real quick, though. No, just like, I get what you're saying about using it as a fucking, like, you know, just start using it as a supplemental thing. But how many times can you reuse, like, Magic Origins? Like, so you throw out all the fucking origin stories for all these fucking planeswalkers.
Well, there's only five. Dude, there's only five planeswalkers, and how many planeswalkers are there? Infinite?
Yeah, I guess
they're
going to
keep making them.
And just water it down later. Yeah,
I think this is the most Vorthos potential idea I've heard in a long time. I know me and Mike Linneman are just Jones. We can't wait to – if they do this right, and all the speculation that I've heard is we're going to get creatures that are flip planeswalkers. So you have Liliana the Veil, the creature, and she has some ability that you can trigger to flip her, or maybe you – level her up, and then you can sacrifice her to search your library for the actual Liliana the Veil card or whatever, but then have supplemental...
I like something triggering it. I think that's awesome.
Right? And maybe, like, because it's the spark igniting. And so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you could call the mechanic, like, Time Spark or whatever you could think of, and then you've got all the cards that... You know, M15 was in that whole questionnaire. I don't know if any of you guys filled it out, but I did a couple times. And they ask, you know, do you like the flavor over the art or did the card matter or whatever? And it was very clear from all the data they got back that people love the storyline. And if I could get more cards, like, you know, 10, 20 cards that kind of told the story of Liliana through the Vorsoth aspect of things, that's amazing. Because I know my kids, they would just go bonkers. They would be all over that. Yeah. So I think this has got a lot of potential.
Like a legendary creature on one side. You know, as the character, and then fucking whatever triggers their spark flips them over and turns them into a planeswalker. Probably be the easiest way to do it.
Jace is like a green mage, and then you have to get, like, Jace's drunk father in play, and you have to tap him to beat him, and then he turns into a planeswalker. I hate you, Dad! You know, or something like that.
I hate you, Dad! Yeah, that's a flavor text on it. I hate you, Dad.
I'm gonna unsummon your ass! Draw three cards, motherfucker!
Turns out Jace and Chandra used to like
bang each other.
Like, yeah, they used to bang back when they were fucking normal people, and like
that'd be
some
good.
Really bad shit happened, and then they just fucking flipped and went opposite directions.
Yeah,
and they've been
locked
in this eternal struggle since.
You have to have Jace and Chandra out at the same time, and then you have to cast the artifact, the Winnebago, and then you have to have Chandra attached to the Winnebago, and then you have to cast Ultimate Orgasm on her, and she turns into a planeswalker, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. I actually have an old Winnebago in my backyard right now.
Everything comes back to you, David. Everything comes back to you. I'm telling you. Dragon tokens.
The speculation on these cards being, possibly double faced, possibly creatures on one side, planeswalkers on the other, makes a lot of sense. Scarily so, I feel like, because I really wish they would better define the kind of the parameters of this core set. Or, you know, if it is or isn't a core set, because as a core set, that seems pretty complicated to try to introduce to newer players of the game, of the format, of what have you. So I would be pretty surprised if that was actually ended up.
I think they should have just called it M16.
No, I have to back you up. So in Mero's blog, that argument is moot. They've even said, they say...
It's a moot point.
They say that there is no beginner set, because... When a player chooses to enter the game, it could be during Gay Crash or Dragon's Maze. It's not – they don't wait to play M16. And so that's why they're getting rid of it, because they're like, there is no point.
But the marketing blitz is the widest on a Corset. You know, like Jules of the Plane has tied it into past.
Yeah, but I think they've just made the app. That's what the app is, right?
Okay. You play. I mean, that's fine. I mean, if that's what they want to come out and say, then they should
They need to come out and fucking make that app available for shit that's not an iPad. They need to just make it a fucking, like, on just a mobile platform.
They might. They did say that there was big announcements.
I don't see it happening anytime in the future.
Well, Steve, and if they put Steve from MTGO in charge of it, we're fucked, right, guys?
Yeah.
That guy's a fucking asshole.
Steve.
They're going to just send Sarkin Vall back in time to fucking...
The 1955.
Yeah, it'll be the 1955 version, so they have an excuse for why it doesn't work. Well,
to the fire that there might be legendary creatures that turn into planeswalkers. Yes. The big hullabaloo was during the Pro Tour announcement. The set was announced at 277 cards, and subsequently it's been repealed to be 272 cards. So basic arithmetic would tell me that there are strangely 5 cards that disappeared, and you'd think that those 5 cards, quote-unquote, may be the reverse sides of cards that already existed, and coincidentally there happen to be 5 planeswalkers featured in this set.
Ooh, look at you.
That makes sense.
Look at you making sense.
Doing math and shit? What the fuck? We don't do that on this podcast.
Yeah, you need to knock that off.
Yeah, David gets all cold like a fucking killer. Man, you gotta knock that shit off with that math.
Unless you're counting in threes, you don't do math on this podcast.
You're harsh on my vibe.
The only math I want to hear is related to shots. I definitely think we're gonna see, and you know, touching on the artwork, which is very interesting.
Yeah, you got Liliana before and Liliana after.
But like, I could see there's a dual color nature here. Like, I think they're playing with Liliana is white, and then she flips to black. Jace is green, flips to blue. Like, he's wearing a green and fucking thing. So my speculative call on this is we're going to see their flip side be a different color. You know?
I don't think so.
Well, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but I think so. Liliana was a healer. How is that black?
You know.
How is that black? She's got doves and fucking mice.
Okay, well, she's like the only one. I mean, Garrick was known for being a hunter. Jace was known for being a freaking mind mage. Chandra was known for being a crazy bitch.
We don't know. We don't know Jace's backstory. You be quiet, Gummy. We don't know. I could see Chandra. You know what? I could see Chandra being... Jeez, I don't know. She could be like a crazy, like...
Chandra was just like...
I don't know.
I've heard bad things about her.
No, I've heard her backstory before. She was, you know, into the, like, pyromancy type stuff before that.
All right, well, maybe...
Yeah, before Sparking.
Maybe it'll only be Liliana that'll have change color.
Your ponies to pick from this particular corset are Gideon, Nissa, Chandra, Jace, and Liliana. We finally put Garrick to rest, as it were, after he was blown out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And here's further fuel to it. So Nissa was evil before she turned good in the Zendikar story. So I think she'll be black. Oh. Gideon will be red. And he tamed his anger to become white.
Oh. Look at you, MTG psychologist.
I'm telling you. The only thing, though, if you do that, it gets fucked up, is that Chandra has to be blue to turn red, which I don't think makes
sense. I'm telling you, Chandra, she used to live on an island and shit. She was just a cool-ass fucking hippie chick that just didn't give a shit about anything. She's just all, whatever, it's all about the waves. Everything
she was a surfer, great. Right?
Yeah, and then she got bit by a fucking shark and it pissed her off.
It's like, motherfucking sharks, where's the fire? Give me the fucking flamethrower, bitch.
Oh, God.
She's all, you know what sharks don't like? Motherfucking fire. And...
I don't think they're afraid of fire, honestly.
They don't even know what fire is. Be.
I know, that's my point.
Sharks rarely encounter fire.
So oh my God,
that was
exactly
that was the whole fucking point.
Someone
scared shitless.
Someone, please, I need a shirt with a shark on it, and it's just like a fireball, and the shark is like, I don't know why I'm scared.
Sharks.
Yeah, fire sharks. There you go. Fire sharks. Spitting fireballs out of our mouths.
That's, if I ever owned a professional sports team, that's what it would be called, Fire Sharks.
It's not actually bad. Oh, I think we could make a whole cartoon series out of that in the 80s.
So our biggest
there's
quest.
Ninja Turtles. We can goddamn have fucking Fire Sharks.
They're teenage mutants. Yeah, what the fuck, dude? We grew up at a time when people just sat around boardroom tables and just drew names out of a hat.
Would you not be, like, afraid of a fucking fire shark? Whatever that might be in your imagination.
I couldn't hide
like,
in the water. I couldn't hide in the water.
Photoshop challenge of the week for the SVU. Show
yeah.
us the fire shark.
Fucking fire shark. And then again, you probably could fire you shark. Could hide in the water, because if you got a shark that's on fire and then you get in the water, it's just going to turn into a normal shark, and then you know, act accordingly. Wear steel-plated armor. Like
and sink to the bottom and drown. Nice.
Whatever. Don't go that far in the water. Jesus Christ, I haven't thought this through. Just fire sharks, go.
And bonus points for using the Katy Perry left shark.
Yes.
So anything else that we want to, just speculate on right now for the ending core set other than sharks. Fire sharks and
the
backstories of Planeswalkers? Request?
The big speculation, I think that everyone, it's not even speculation, it's just a hope, and it's a prayer, and it may never happen, but if we...
They're going to reprint Goya.
Exactly. I'm not even shitting. At Rare, we need big reprints. Put them in here in a set that will have enough distribution that the price will come down. Don't stick it at Mythic in a limited release set. But who knows, man? I mean, it sounds like if it's all about the Vorthos, I love it, man. That's cool. Just, I think it could be sweet. And if we get...
Just take all the flip Planeswalkers and Tarmogoyf. And then build the rest of the set to just hose Tarmogoyf, so it's not like out of hand in standard.
Oh well,
and then just call it good.
So did so? I think it was Jeff. Maybe it was Travis, who also made the speculation that we have Gideon, Nissa, Chandra, Jason, Liliana, who were all on Zendikar. Right. So that.
You and returning to Zendikar.
Yep. I know. He's gonna say it every week until he's right, and then it's gonna be like, I told you guys.
I fucking told you guys.
I'm just saying it. This now, if the sky and the star isn't aligning right now, I don't know. This feels like it makes a lot of sense that.
So my question is, if this isn't going to be treated like a regular core set, and instead going to be a new crazy animal, is it possible that this is actually going to be the bridge between the old system and the new system, and that the set following Magic Origins in the fall will kind of be linked to it, whether it be story-wise, set design-wise, or something. So we go from Magic Origins to Magic something that kind of bridges those two worlds, gives us another opportunity to have more of those cool Planeswalkers, et cetera, et cetera.
Also, you have to look
Magic something.
You have to look at this.
I think they should name it that.
You have to look at this. Magic Origins. How smart is that for a title of a movie? Right?
Or the title of a book.
Right? Or how smart is it? How smart is it that they're going to give us a year to all get familiar with these Planeswalkers' origins before we tell the movie story? Like this makes a lot of sense that this is going to be something that they'll be referencing quite a bit, right?
Throw us Magic players a bone so when we drag all our non-Magic friends to the fucking the movie, when it finally comes out, we can be the asshole that's sitting there next to him being all, actually, I know what's going to happen here because Chandra actually started off living on an island and then fire sharks happened and now she's – yeah, we can all be
that. Oh, it's the Winnebago scene. This is going to be great.
Oh yeah, the Winnebago scene, eh?
I mean, it's kind of awkward that R&D and the work that goes into set design is so calculated and so precise in the future that they could, I think, really try to make that happen and then kind of get screwed by, Hollywood bureaucracy not being able to deliver a product on time.
Oh wait, we got
I just can't wait to come out of the theater and be like, actually, the card game is much better.
Here, play this booster. You know what? It'd be like, hey, Spider-Man's coming. We got to push this back. We're going to incorporate Spidey in the new Magic. You heard it here first. No, I'm just kidding.
They're just gonna start adding fucking characters.
Marvel Universe,
the other fucking the Marvel Universe is gonna get its
invades
fucking,
magic.
Its fucking dick in it. Fucking Star Wars Universe is gonna get its dick in it. Fucking there's gonna be all sorts of dicks in this Magic thing by the time we're done with it.
Man, Kevy with more amazing quotes for the rest of this episode.
That's what I'm here for.
I also think that a new major facet of the Heavy Metal drinking game is every time one of our phalluses is mentioned. I think that we've really set a new standard in 2015 for talking about our own junk.
I think we need to amend that rule that it's only a half a drink if it's Kevies, because we don't want to kill all of our fans.
Well, the first game, I believe this was all the way back, Kevy, to what, episode 7? I think it was before 10.
I don't remember.
Yeah, when the fuck, the first Heavy Metal drinking game was every time Kevy says fuck, and then too many people went to the hospital.
Everybody that played that game is dead and doesn't listen anymore.
No, there was a few people that tried, and then that there was, you know, it was not good. We got some several angry emails that we, you know, are encouraging people to commit suicide, but I agree. Well, I think junk.
To be fair, we couldn't tell if they were angry emails or just their cat walking across the keyboard or they were drunk.
They were definitely from midgets. I know that. That's just for sure. I think if you're going to play the game, junk is the new thing, at least for the next couple episodes.
Yeah, and like, if you see a picture of my junk, then you have to drink 5.
From his Twitter. Penis.
Yeah. I don't want to play this game.
I don't want to play anymore.
I'm out.
Leave it to Maddie. Maddie kills it for everybody.
I can see.
Like, oh, whoa. This seemed like a lot of fun until we had to actually put our mouth on Kevin's penis.
And Kevin's the only one being like, guys, we are so playing this fucking game. Come on.
Yeah, we're totally playing this game. Hey, I have to admit myself. If I could reach my own dick, we've talked about this. I'd never need anything but cheeseburgers. But I'm not going to be able to drink from my own peckers, so the rest of you guys are going to have to. And I'll just have to play judge or something.
Oh, Lord.
Man, the recut of this episode is top the one that was recut to have us say amazing.
I feel like that one, he went really safe with it because he didn't really know us.
Yeah.
That one could have been far worse than it was. Yeah,
I think we give open clearance to anyone that wants to make us say ridiculous shit. Well, as long as they send us directly.
He said that. Oh, not he does not speak for me. I'll get my Heavy Metal lawyer on the phone right now. You can.
David's trying to omit himself, like in paper.
Yeah. Whoa.
I'm pretty sure we just run it past PR and they'll get us out of it.
Yeah, our department's been pretty active this week. They've been trying.
That's true. So let's talk, because as you know, Target is closing up here in Canada, and last week, I think me and a couple of guys, we all decided to go check out these amazing deals, and there is no fucking deals.
Before you get deep in the story details, I have to say that because the store is closing, I am already sad that we will not have future Maddie Goes to Target stories, because they are always so fucking
no,
good.
Walmart. No,
it's even better. It's even better. Maddie's going to – yeah, exactly. Maddie's going to have to start going to
Walmart.
It's going to be a way better fucking
story. This is a blessing in disguise. Like, maybe more of the crazy nerds are going to be forced to go to the same place.
You have no idea how much I hate Walmart. Walmart is the disgusting. It's the worst place in the world.
I despise Walmart, and we probably have, like, David, you can attest to this. We have probably, like, the cleanest, nicest run Walmart, I think, on the planet. Every other Walmart I've ever been to in any other city is literally just shit falling off the shelves and fucking nobody cares. Yep. It's just fucking terrible.
Yeah, ours is actually pretty nice.
It's actually really nice, and I still fucking hate it because everybody in town goes there, and it fucking drives me nuts. My wife, every time we go to Walmart, like, together for something, she's just like, how long do you think we can be in here before you lose it? And I'm like, I don't know, give me 10, 15 minutes. And, like, I fucking lose my mind because I hate fucking people that, you know, just the dumb bullshit. It's like, oh, this is a good place to stand right in the middle of the fucking aisle where people can't get by so you can catch up with your friends from church. Fuck off! Do it! It's on your own time, God! And I start screaming, and she's like, oh my God, you're embarrassing me so much. I'm like, no, this guy right here is going to get punched if he doesn't move his fucking cart right now. I freak the fuck out at Walmart. And she's like,
just walk into the electronics department, he's banging his dick on a freaking TV.
it's just ridiculous. It's real bad. And so, yeah, like, I get like a 10-15 minute limit in Walmart here, and we have a nice Walmart. Like, oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Man, anywhere else, I can't imagine. I can't wait to hear the stories of Maddie in Walmart.
Oh, the last time I was at Walmart was at Christmas. And I swear to God, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I'm like, it's Saturday. I just, I'm gonna go.
Fuck that.
I don't know what I was on. I was on drugs. I don't know what I was doing. I walked in there, and I was like, oh shit, I had to get something for the kids. And I was like, just walking through there, and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, why is the section I want at the back of the store? I gotta go through the entire fucking store. I'm standing in an aisle, and you're right, dude. People just block an aisle. I'm like,
yeah.
Move your fucking cart.
We're in a small. The problem is we have a nicer Walmart than a lot of places because we're in a smaller town. But it's also the fact that, like, we have a Walmart and we have a Kmart. We don't have a fucking Target here. And so we have a Walmart and a Kmart. Nobody goes to Kmart ever for anything. And so everybody goes to Walmart. We're also in a very small town where most of the people that are in Walmart know each other at any given fucking time. And so they all decide to fucking sit around and fucking bullshit about everything. Like, you can walk into Walmart on a Saturday and 50% of the people are there, like, buying shit. And 50% of the people are there because they haven't seen anybody for the week. And so they're going to go out and go fucking socialize at Walmart. It's fucking
well,
terrible.
Check.
It makes me want to crush everybody.
So check this story out, because this was absurd. I'm walking through the food part of Walmart, because ours is like a big one, whatever. And it is a disaster.
Whatever, no big deal. We got a super Walmart.
My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
No. But you know what? Putting food in Walmart is the dumbest. It's just a horrible move.
It smells like shit in there, but it smells like fucking 3-day-old pretzel dough.
Everything is rotting, right? But
it smells of rich mahogany.
Well, you know, I was on Money Drop. No, so the worst thing is I walk down this aisle and there's a fucking big dude in a trench coat with a cart, and he put his cart in an angle where, like, I can't get my cart around him, and behind him, or on the other side of him, is these two fat fucking bitches just, I don't know, taking pictures on their phone and just not moving. So I stand there, and I don't want to be rude, and I just, like, okay, I'm not going to say anything.
You fucking Canadians.
They'll look at me.
Oh, no.
No, but no, this is the best. So I'm like, I don't want to turn around and walk all the way out this aisle, round the next aisle. It's just too much. I'm like, I'll just wait. So I wait like five, six seconds, 10 seconds, nothing. The fat guy, I swear to God, my jaw bounced off the floor. He's standing in front of all the salsas, or whatever the fucking chip spreads are. He opens one, puts his finger in it, I swear to God, tastes it, goes yuck, puts the lid back on, puts it back on the shelf. I swear to God, guys, he's not.
Remember, kids, that's what the safety button on lids are for.
If the
fat dude didn't try your salsa.
If you don't hear it go, then do not eat that shit. I'm just saying this.
Exactly.
The guy.
Hey, and that quote applies to a lot of other things in life. If you can't hear it go and like pop, don't eat that shit. Like,
that could, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't apply to everything. But so check this out. So the guy's looking directly at the shelf. I now am slightly moving my cart, so I'm trying to get his eye contact to look at me. He opens another one. This is so gross. He doesn't even put his finger in it. He opens it and licks the top of it. And I swear to God,
he realized his finger smelled like butt.
To be fair, that is superior strategy for sure. Like, I don't want to get my finger with a bunch of weird cheese contaminants all over it. I'm gonna use that finger later.
But who fucking does? Like, it is. So, I don't know. Look, I can't take this. But as a Canadian, I don't want to say something. So I take my cart. No,
mentally ingrained into Maddie. He cannot stand up for other citizens and be one person.
Oh no!
Instead, turn away from each other as one man puts his dick in cheese.
There was no dicks yet, but I just say, look, I've gotten into too much trouble. My wife has told me many times, like, I'm very vocal. I'm trying to be nicer now at my older age. So anyways, with the cart, I just bump his cart, which hits him, to get his attention. Like, dude, look at me. You're fucking, this is gross. He doesn't do anything. So I
just keeps fucking eating cheese and salsa.
He
just keeps dipping things in things.
No, so I reach around And I don't reach around him, but I reach.
Oh,
I reach.
Man. Oh, no. This is where the
there's, an,
come
there's
in.
Another club for the fucking.
No, I don't reach around. Ah, fuck.
This is where the dicks
oh,
come
you're
in.
Oh, you're crazy. I just reach around on the shelf like I'm gonna grab something, like he's in the way, and the guy is like, "Excuse me, I'm standing here." And I'm like, I just lose it. I just.
Oh, I'm editing this in my head right now.
I just lose it. Oh. I just lose it, and I'm like,
Look.
I lose it to the guy, and I smack his hand, and the fucking jar falls out of his hand. I'm like, you don't fucking open the goddamn things and stick your fucking tongue in there. That's disgusting. Now, the two ladies.
I'm going to edit this episode.
Go ahead.
And
go
it's
ahead.
It's going to be this.
So the two fat chicks turn around, and they're like, what? And I'm like, this motherfucker is putting his tongue in the fucking jars. It's disgusting. And they're like, what? What are you doing? And the guy's like, excuse me, I gotta go. And he starts to leave, and I'm like, you ain't going anywhere till you clean up this fucking mess. And he's like, and he takes off, right? Now, the Walmart guy comes, some fucking guy in a blue vest comes around, and he's like, oh man, what happened? I'm like, I'm like, I gotta go. I don't even know. I'm like, there was a guy, there was a tongue, and fucking, then shit happened, and the two ladies are pointing at me like I did it, and I'm like, fuck you, man. I'm out of here. I leave Walmart. I leave Walmart.
Somebody please
look,
edit this part down.
This is
right. No, this is the worst. So I'm like, fuck this. I don't want anything. I don't want to buy nothing from Walmart. I'm walking and the guy, I've had it. This is gross. The guy who the Walmart employee is following me with his phone, and he's like following me, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm fucking. And I take my cart and I just throw it into like the women's, like, I don't know, fucking pant aisle, and it hits and knocks over one.
Into the women standing there?
No, I just chucked it out of the way, and I'm like, fucking bullshit. I'm like, I can't believe this fucking store. It's all a bunch of fucking troglodytes. I fucking hate gardening. And I walk right out, the indoor, past the old man who's standing there, like, greeting. The greeter guy. And the greeter guy's like, hey, you want a cart? And I'm like, I want no fucking cart. And I take his cart, just whip it around, like, and he's like, whoa. And the guy's on his phone, like, ready to call.
He knocks the guy off his walker and everything.
Oh, dude, I
like how this story starts out with, like, I don't want to say anything, and it ends with, the fuck you, you fucking troglodyte, and taking shit from old man and whipping it around. Like, when you Canadians fall off the wagon, holy shit.
You get mad. Oh,
everything that he's apologized for that he didn't want to apologize for
That's
up
true.
Until now is coming out at the poor guy. And it's not even the fucking dude sticking his dick in the salsa. It's the fucking poor greeter that's got a job. That, like,
wait.
He's too old to stand up on his own, but they're like, fuck it, give him a job. And he's just like, my job is to stand here and give you a cart. And then he's just all, fuck you and your store.
Probably the worst thing I've ever done is when I go to buy something, I do research on it, right? I probably know more about, actually, okay. Any Walmart employee doesn't know anything. So when you ask them,
wow, that was a blatant statement.
And I 100% stand behind this. If you ask a Walmart employee about, like, hey, this pool pump for a 8975 saltwater pool, you know, does it work in chlorine or, you know, saline baths? They don't know. You should not ask them that. But my wife, if she's with me, she'll be like, ask him. I'm like, hun, the guy's a fucking idiot. And so one day I just had it. And she asked the guy something, and I'm like, hun, the guy's a fucking moron. He doesn't know anything. And the guy looked at me like so offended, right? And I'm like, watch this. He's gonna.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I'm like, watch. He's gonna read the back of the box. And the guy turns the box around, and he's like. Well, it says here, and I'm like, yeah, I can read the back of the box too, asshole. I fucking already did.
No, dude, I seriously, I just this past weekend, I bought an extra, like, I bought a second PS3 this past weekend from Walmart, and I was like, you know what? I just need, like, the most basic, well, I don't need, like, a bundle or anything like that. I don't need a lot of memory, because this one is just, like, for, like, to run Netflix and shit on one of our TVs. So I was like, I want to get the cheapest fucking PS3 that I can. And So I roll into fucking Walmart, and they've got, like, down at the fucking bottom of the little, in the electronics section, the little glass case where they keep all the games and shit, and the consoles are down at the bottom. There's, like, three different fucking price tags. It's got, like, the fucking 500 megabyte fucking Destiny bundle is, like, fucking $299, and then there's, like, the 250 gig some other fucking game bundle is, like, $199. And I knew the prices had gone down, but I'm looking and I'm like, wait a second. Okay, there's the price tags. And the only ones in the case are these two 12 gig fucking like basic ass PS3s. So it's like, okay, well, this one's a 250 gig for 199. And the Destiny bundle, the 500 gig one's like another 100 bucks. So I'm pretty sure these have got to be a lot cheaper. It's just the 12 gig, no game, fucking basic ass PS3 with a controller. So I was like, yeah, there's no fucking price tag. And they don't have the other ones. So I'm going to go ask this dude. I go ask the guy, hey, guy, can you come check this shit out for me? Like, I, you know, the prices say this and that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I can help you out, no problem. He's all eager and fucking grabs his fucking little pricing gun and brings it over there. I'm like, yeah, see, right here it says the 250 gig bundle with this game is fucking $199. And this one says $299. This one is 12 gigs and doesn't come with shit. So how much is that one? And he's like, huh. And he, like, looks at it for a minute, and he kind of looks around. Like you're saying, like, I already looked at the price tags that are down there.
Oh, that's the worst, when they're like, how much is it? And they look at the price tag that you looked at. Ah, duh.
And so then he opens up the case, like, well, I could just check it like this. And he opens up the thing, and he fucking beeps it with his fucking little gun. He's like, $199. And I was all, huh. I'm all, so the 250 gig that comes with the game and shit is that you don't have here is $199, and this other one is just basic as fuck, and it's $199 too. And the kid was all shoulders. He's like, I don't know. Like,
right, I work in the produce department.
So. And I was all, Jesus, blood fucking Christ. I was like, okay, you know what? If you guys don't have you don't have these other ones, you have this one, and you don't have a price tag for it anywhere. But you don't have the ones that you have price tags for. That's okay. I don't want it. I'll go ahead and go about my business and go find one somewhere else that's cheaper. And I got halfway down the aisle before I had pulled up on Walmart.com that the 12 gig is like $159. And I turned back around and I was all, hey, guy. Look. and it says, it's like the 12 gig says like $199 and it's slashed out and it says $159. It's all, hey, guy, look. And he's like, just confused, like deer in headlights. And I was like, yeah, I found this on your website. Like, I mean, your gun seems like it's got a lot of buttons on it and shit, and it knows the prices of everything in this store except for this, apparently. And he's like, oh yeah, well, we price match our own website. And I'm like, well, that seems like a good idea.
They price and match everything. That's what I was just gonna say.
Our own website.
No, but that's what came out of his mouth. He's all, we price match our own website.
That doesn't like, even make sense.
I was like, I'm all right on. That's
good business right
and
there.
And so then he, I was like, well, then will you go ahead and grab that thing for me? So he unlocks the case, gets it out, takes it up to the front. And then it took three Walmart employees to knock it down $50.
Oh my God.
It was so bad.
Anyways.
Walmart. So we were talking about Target half an hour ago.
So, yeah. So I went to.
Well, no, well, we're talking about Target ceasing to exist, so Maddie's going to have to go to Walmart anyway. So this is more informative than.
I must say this. While Target was disappointing to Canadians because they didn't have the selection that you could see in an American store, they were very.
But it was like Canadian colors, at least. You guys could at least be proud
of
that.
But it. I mean, it was nice and clean, but it was more expensive than Walmart, and it was like. It was blah. Anyways, I went in there, and they have a real super shitty Magic selection. It's like Speed versus Cunning, and what is the other one? Just horrible shitty dual decks. They had a couple...
Dicks versus Bucks.
They had a couple of Cons boxes, Holiday boxes still out there, and they were like 10% off. So that was the extent of the deals. I asked one of the managers there when I was there, I'm like, are you guys dropping prices any lower? And he's like, nope. He's like, next week we're just going to take all the Magic and Pokemon stuff and we're going to ship it back. So, pretty disappointing.
We're just going to send it to the stores in America and they're going to deal with
it. Yeah, that was his thing. He's like, we're not dropping it anymore. So, I don't know. If anyone else has got deals, I hope you found them, but From what I saw, it was ass.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. Like, if like, a business is going, like, if a company's going out of business completely, like, yeah, you're going to get those fucking blazing deals if they're just trying to get rid of the stock that they have. But, like, if it's just, a company that's like, oh, we're closing these branches, then they're just going to ship the shit to somewhere else anyway, man, instead of, like, giving you good deals on
it. I've seen people post pictures where they get stuff for half price.
At some point,
but...
though, you lose money by shipping it all over the place.
I don't think corporations
like
are that
smart. It's less than giving it to people at 25% of the retail price. I mean, so ultimately, there's not, like, a perfect moment that you need to be waiting for to try to get in there and get stuff for wholesale price. Or
I don't know. I'll say this. So I asked them how they're breaking down stuff, right? So they started the first 2 weeks at 10 to 30% off. So I think we're still in that. And they're going to base it on that. They're going to consolidate stores. So certain stores with less inventory, they're just going to close them faster and ship more inventory to larger stores and keep them open longer. So if you do want deals, apparently we'll get to 50% off in 3 or 4 weeks.
What you need to do is you need to go there the day after the store closes completely, and then you hit up the fucking the 16-year-old kid that they hired, like, you know, just like outsourced to fucking pack up all the shit in the store, and be like, oh, hey man, any magic cards in that box? I'll give you $50 for that box, and then fucking roll out.
You probably
business in the crest.
Yeah, that's how the crest works.
Business in the crest.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. Sorry guys, no deals I've seen. If you have any, let me know. Tweet them. I'm very curious to see if any of the SVU members out there have seen or heard anything I haven't. But yeah, that's about all I've seen.
Well, that's very unexciting. Thank God we filled 20 minutes with the cheese liquor at...
cheese liquor. That's it. Fuck, I'm referring to him from now on as hashtag cheese liquor. That's what he was. Fucking cheese liquor. Gross. Fucking disgusting. Have you ever seen a fucking guy in a trench coat with like a half-day beard growth and like just greasy fucking curls in his hair? Licking cheese?
Who hasn't?
I haven't. I don't go to fucking Walmart. Like, I don't go there for that reason. I've seen that website at Walmart or
sarcastic.
Daily.
Jesus.
See, for me, when you said cheese liquor for a split second, I was like, I wonder if they could make a good cheese flavored liquor. I doubt it, but maybe.
Oh,
like,
cheese
I like
liquor.
Cheese,
that's
and
gross.
I love liquor.
Put that one in your back pocket for later, for sure. Then.
Yeah. Wow, that is fucking gross.
Maybe one of these days I will come up with the ultimate fucking drunk time snack. Cheese liquor. Get at it.
You know what that just reminds me of is fucking Super Troopers. Cheese liquor. Do you require assistance?
Do you require assistance?
Oh, my goodness. So
as we alluded to earlier,
well, there's
bear fucker.
Bear fucker. There's cheese liquor and bear fucker. Will just be my two different fucking brands.
he's going all verboto now. The internet can't handle him. Just can't, cheese liquor. You just can't handle.
True. It'll happen.
So David, tell me how regionals went for you, man. I'm very curious to know.
All right. So this is. I'm so disgusted with myself. Just we were driving down there. It's probably because it was like 4 something in the morning. We started my friend. He decided he was going to play basically a Naya combo deck in standard. And the deck is all it's like Seder Wayfinder, Commune with the Gods. It's got Purphoros, Wall of Mulch, Wall of Essence, Sylvan Caryatid. Trying to come up with it, but basically what all ties it together is Rally the Ancestors, and you fill up your graveyard, you know sacrifice, you chomp your creatures all day long, then you Rally the Ancestors for 4. You drop all of your perfs, all your creatures, they all hit the board at the same time, all the perf triggers hit, and then you just murder your opponent in one thing. I didn't like it because it just dies to counter spells for the most part. So I was like, well, what can you do this like with an aggro type of thing? You know, like all your creatures are still aggressive and you have a proactive game plan. on top of it. And so we started working on a list for that. Well, I last second audible to that, and it was basically like a mono red devotion list that had Rally the Ancestors in it as well, and a splash of blue for the Mantis Rider. So I wanted a cheap, hasted creature. So it had Flamewake Phoenix, Mantis Rider. It had Shaman of the Great Hunt. It had Rabble Master. Had Mardu Scout. Fire Drinker Satyr. And so that way, when you rallied, you could hit your perf triggers and everything. But then you also had hasted creatures to get through damage, because rally it exiles at the end of each turn. That's what I ran, but the problem is there was no way to actively fill your graveyard, and then on top of that, you rarely hit the mana that you needed. So I basically had a couple dead cards. Other than that, it was just a really aggressive, you know, mono red, splash blue white, and I managed to go 5-3. There was a couple games that cost me matches, and it wasn't any misplays. Like my opponent, I played Teemer Aggro and like the third or fourth round, and he top decked burn both games. I had him at one life, and he top decked a burn spell that was Xaxes on me that turn. So there's nothing I could do about that. But I went 5-3. I placed a 40th out of about 200 people. I just placed out of the money.
How big was the place you guys were playing in? I mean, if it held 200 and you're not complaining about being elbow to elbow with,
oh, it was a
large
sweat balls,
gigantic freaking, school. Like, this high school was huge. I could not believe how big this place was. I'm still salty over my deck choice.
What would you have played?
City Fresno could make you feel better about your life choices.
Oh, Fresno is so miserable. I hate that place. But you know, like I said, I went there because I wasn't going to be hanging around Fresno anyway, and so the deck choice that I should have just stuck to my guns. I was going to play Sultai Midrange. Really similar to Gerard Fabiano's list, except for I didn't like that 6-mana draw spell. I think that's really janky and not very good. I put a Tassiger in the main for that, and then I shaved a couple numbers, but it was pretty much the same, same deck. That's what I should have stuck with. I think it's powerful. I think it has game against everything. The decks that I lost to was, I lost a blue white heroic. That was just a beating. Like, I just got my shit pushed in. Teemer Aggro was the other one that got me, and that one was really close. And then I want to say, it was the one that he ended up top eighting, and I think he might have been the one that won it. But it was actually a blue green devotion list, and he just ramped out into like Polychronos and other things that were just, they just raced me.
Yeah, the
me
Hyde,
and
Genesis Hydra, right?
Yeah, I think he might have had that in there. I didn't see it, okay. But it had you know, the 6/6 reach.
Oh, yeah, the across, yeah. And the green guy from Theros, yeah. That kills a flyer.
Yeah, so, I mean, he ramped out so fast. Wasn't really much I could do. It was what it was. I definitely felt like I made an error by last second audibling to that, and, you know, I paid the price.
There you go, man.
Do you find that happens a lot? Like, I hear people talk about that a lot, and I'm, like, so far removed from, like, being, like, actual competitive. Like, I like to be competitive playing Magic, but like, I'm not a competitive player that goes, you know, like, focuses on the weekend and goes out and fucking grinds these tournaments and shit, but I hear that from a lot of people. It's like, fucking, it's probably the worst thing you can do is just fucking audible out.
Once in a while you'll feel like a genius, because you'll be like, you know, now that I think about it, I think this deck isn't well positioned, or I think the metagame here, like, California is known for being aggressive, and it sure,
lo and behold,
like that, at the tournament, there was a lot of blue-white aggro, there was a lot of Teemer aggro, Abzan aggro, you know, there's a lot of aggressive, strategies, you know, I should have just stuck with the mid-range plan. I feel like it has a decent game against the aggro builds, because most of the lists that say aggro are not that aggressive. Like Blue-Eyed Heroic is, it can do a lot of damage real quick, but it's all centered on pretty much one creature at a time and assembling Voltron on it. And if you can deal with it, then they sit there and they look stupid.
Right.
I really am not a fan of that deck. But if you don't have any interaction with it, and I didn't. I mean, I pulled four Glare Heresies out of the board, but I never saw them in game two.
Crackling Doom, man.
Abzan Agwa. I wasn't playing black. I was playing blue. You know, Abzan aggro, it can be fairly aggressive, but to me, it's just slightly faster than mid-range. It plays aggressive creatures, but they're not, like, really, really aggressive. And so the mid-range can, you know, run out an Ashiok and really start making them invest their resources and getting rid of that. Kiora just neuters a big creature. And so I felt like if I would have played Sultai, I would have done better. I feel confident that I would have top eighted that tournament. But
what do you think of Monastery Mentor? Because I'm going to be at the Invitational face to face, and I'm going to be playing the red white kind of Monastery Mentor Goblin Rabble Master deck. I think that's what I'm going to be playing for it. And I wondered, what do you think of Mentor right now?
I like Monastery Mentor. I think it's best in the red-white list, the aggressive one. And I think that you should just look at Monastery Mentor as a 4-drop. Don't run it out on 3.
Okay.
Unless you have another one and a spell to back it
up. Always run your Rabble Master out first kind of thing?
Yeah, Rabble Master out, which most people are aware of. Let him eat a burn spell. But, you know,
okay.
I like Monastery Mentor. It can do some really powerful things. I think it's just more of needs to find a home. But like red white with like Chain to the Rocks and
I was thinking splashing for Crackling Doom just to deal with like blue white heroic and I don't know. Just
I don't dislike that. I feel like you need to be
now you're right in his wheelhouse.
I know, right?
Yeah. I feel like you need to be aggressive, and you have to have like those one cost spells like Chain to the
Wild
Rocks.
Wild Slash,
the +1/+0 draw card is really, really nice with Monastery Mentor. And I feel like, you know, if you build your deck around that and
Think about Valorous Stance? I kind of like it, but
Valorous Stance is really good, I think, as a sideboard card.
That's what I was thinking. I just don't have the room in the main. I want Burn. I want Hordling Outburst.
Valorous Stance is definitely a main deck card if you are blue white heroic.
Yes.
Obviously, like absolutely.
Yeah. It
in the aggressive build, I don't think it does all the things that you want it to do. I think that, you know, that it's fine in the sideboard. You bring it in against Abzan.
Do you think the other question I had was, do you think Thoughtseize has any place in that red white splashing black deck as a sideboard card? Because I'm debating maybe not.
But would you be interested in grabbing?
That's the thing. I don't think there's anything that you really care about.
Yeah. It's a powerful card, but like at that point,
just
like
run Banishing
Light. You don't really need to grab and get rid of it.
Well, I mean, there are cards that blow you out. You have Drown in Sorrow, Bile Blight can get you pretty good.
Fucking Drown in Sorrow.
There are cards out there, but at the same time, you know.
Stick to your game plan kind of thing.
Well, I think Thoughtseize is fine in the sideboard. I don't think it's bad. It really just comes down to, you know, a metagame call, what you think you're going to run into. I mean, that's really what Standard comes down to me. I've won so many more sideboarded games than I have pre-boarded games, and that's because I feel like I build my sideboard really well for what I expect to run into. And, you know, also when people build sideboards, they're really afraid of a deck and they'll pack their sideboard full of this stuff. And then they'll realize they don't have enough cards
to achieve their main deck goal.
Well, they don't have enough cards to take out of their main deck.
Right. To side in.
That they're siding out or, you know, you're not really gaining anything with it. I don't know.
I've fallen victim to that quite a few times myself, like loading my sideboard with shit to deal with stuff and then like
really look at it like, oh shit, like I've got to pull out how many fucking cards from my main deck and, you know, to put these answers in there and to be able to, you know, draw them, you know, somewhat, like at least draw them half the time. And fucking, then all of a sudden you're taking away from what your main deck is supposed to do.
Yeah,
and you're basically really... you're just playing defense, and especially in an aggro deck, the last thing you want to do is put a bunch of shit in your main deck from your sideboard to play defense against another deck. You need to be sticking to your plan, and then possibly having answers to some shit that they might bring in.
Yeah, you really want to be building your deck to have cards that you understand is weak in a matchup, and then have a very good number of sideboard cards to swap out. So that
right,
way you're
right,
taking
right.
all of the bad cards out, and then you're adding all high impact cards. Now, obviously, there are going to be some matchups where you're not expecting to run into it, or you don't really feel that weak to it, but you have situational sideboard cards, and then it's like maybe shave a card here for a card there if you feel like it's more impactful. But certainly for the decks that you expect to run into, and you understand that you have cards that are bad in that matchup, have an equal number of good cards to swap out and know ahead of time, because then it'll really, really help you. And, you know, and so I think that's
right.
where all of that.
So you don't have a deck full of answers, or like, so you don't end up with a fucking, like the second game or third game of the match, you don't have a fucking deck full of answers and nothing to actually give your deck gas to do what it's supposed to do.
Correct. Yeah.
Stick your dick Listen. In the fucking nachos.
Definitely always. Always lick your cheese before you buy it.
Hey, maybe he's on to something. I don't know. I don't know. Don't read the fucking expiry date. Just lick the fucking shit, and then you know. And always put that one back and get a fresh one. Always.
Then yeah. get a fresh one, yeah.
You don't want to take, like, pre-licked cheese out of the store. That's why when you go into certain stores, they have the prime powder. That's just.
You always want a fresh cheese when you get home. You don't want to lick someone else's cheese. That's.
You never exactly. want to take pre-licked cheese out of the store. I think that is the quote of the night.
I don't even know if I can make pre-licked cheese is the title of this fucking. God, so you know, people ask me, they're like, hey, where do you come up with the fucking names for your episodes? They don't even make sense.
Yeah, listen to the
episode. I'm like, dude, they totally make sense. You are not listening far enough in.
Then again, half of those come from shit that didn't make the episode or were in the fucking pre or post game. That's and true. So the people really don't know what's going
There's
on.
There's only been a few of those. Oh, man. So let's talk about our tokens, man. They're going everywhere. Yeah.
Indeed yes. they are. I would say all over the globe at this point. But mm-hmm. I feel like not where they're going is nearly as important as the fact that they are in fact going.
Are we saying that like our tokens in like the fucking in the R is in the whole podcast, or like the R is in like Maddie and TSG and I are talking right now and David, you just go get something to drink.
He's already going to get us.
I got a better idea. I'm going to get in my new car and go for a drive. Here in about 10 minutes, they're just going to be recording a whole...
No, I...
As he chokes now on a bottle of cheese.
He's just force feeding me himself.
Oh, he's dipping it in a cheese thing first, too, just to get you.
Yeah, stop at Walmart on your way here. I know it's on the way. Get you some cheese. Hey, lick it first. Make sure it's not expired, because the last thing you want to do is choke me with cheese dish. and then like have to sue the fucking like I'll have to sue the fucking company that made the cheese for giving me fucking some sort of weird.
Sickness. The last thing you want to do is choke me with an expired cheese dick right there. That is it.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I decided I was going to, like, stop being so outlandish and offensive, and that worked, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You don't know. You don't know how many emails I got from people that are like, hey, man, shit is blowing up on Reddit. You guys better watch out. You're going to be the next target. I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Do you know who I cast with?
We started this podcast with the plan on being a target. You guys are lucky we haven't gotten out of hand yet.
Yeah, funny enough, I said, I'm like, guys, if you think this is out of hand, you have no idea. You just have no idea.
Oh, I'm gonna gang fuck Reddit.
The movie cast, if I'm they would have heard the unreleased.
No, I don't even.
Oh god.
I think I'm permanently deleting that just in case one day I upload the wrong. Yeah, because this is too damning. This is damning it.
Yeah, these motherfuckers have no idea what can actually happen. Like they think this shit's bad.
Look, you're sitting in front of a nice fire. And then you're in a blazing inferno. That's the difference, okay? You people have no idea. If Reddit is upset at us just having a good time.
If Reddit were...
Come on now. Come on.
If Reddit were a person... You know what? Never mind. I'm going
to... Don't even say it. Don't. Come on.
I
don't want to edit this.
When I was getting ready.
I don't want... Yeah, don't.
Because that would have gotten really ugly and really
we
dark.
We don't... Yeah. People say, like, how dark is Kevy? I don't understand the guy. Why does he want to do so much to Worth? I'm like, what are you talking about? We love Worth.
Yeah, we love Worth.
Cheese dicks and all. Whatever. We don't care.
Jesus, everything. Hey, non-expired.
That's
Jesus.
Right, man. Hey, you don't want to get fucking botulism, all right?
Cheese dick with a shelf life on it.
That's Moto in a nutshell right there. That describes MTGO V4. Oh, my God. Anyways, back to our tokens. So are we selling out or what?
Now, for those that follow us on Twitter, and again, you're the first people to get your hands on them. I had tweeted a picture of the box a few weeks ago of what we got, you know, four kind of pre-shrunk stacks of them. And just this morning, I kind of broke into the last fourth of the tokens. And, you know, thanks to people out there, we were kind of evening out the distribution between how many Davids were being shipped out and how many Kevys were being shipped out. We're closer to parity, as
we might
were,
not die.
Which I know will go along with.
Which actually really sucks for me. Which really sucks for me because I haven't seen David since this whole fucking thing started in person. And I feel like I had something. I was winning the contest and like, oh yeah, I'm fucking crushing David and fucking people that want tokens of Kevy. Now that things are evening out, I'm still gonna get my ass kicked for this.
You guys are all still dead.
There's yeah, nothing we could do.
But like David's actually going to sell more tokens and kick our ass.
Yeah, he's going to win the contest and still kick our ass for making fun of him. That's awesome.
And it's going to, like, to me, it's going to feel like just playing against a control deck and them winning. It's like, Jesus Christ. You
thought you had a chance.
You got through the fucking onslaught, then you stabilized, and then I got my ass kicked by somebody playing blue and white. This is fucking garbage. So, yeah, it's going to kind of feel the same way if you guys keep buying David tokens and David sells more than I do and I still get my ass kicked or I get choked out. So buy more Kevy Metal tokens.
Well, ideally it's a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1 ratio. So that way we can make the next order as easy as this one where we just get four pieces of artwork. It's going to be a little more taxing to get like, oh, we need 65% Kevy Metals and fill in the rest with everybody else. But
yeah, no, I don't care if that's taxing to you. That's going to I'm going to wake up every morning, get in the shower and be like, oh, I'm fucking winning at Twitter.
There's nothing more rock star than the guy on the cast who does nothing but showers and thinks about his tokens are flying off the shelves.
Exactly.
He didn't have to design them or upfront the money for them or have to ship them out to everybody. He's just like, yeah, that's
I'm
right.
Me.
Can I get that in a shirt right now?
I'm the talent, goddammit.
No, I want to thank everybody out there that has, just contacted and reached out to get tokens. As I mentioned on Twitter earlier today, as of this morning, I was trying to clean up the inbox and take care of the making sure things get out, stop by, and do the internationals. And I had about 40 emails of people that had made initial contact saying, like, hey, let me get some tokens. And then I respond to you saying, hey, here's what our cost is. Any donation you want to make is great. Just hit me back with your token request, your shipping address confirmed, and I'll get them out to you. And I had about 40 of those where people hadn't, made the response. So I posted it this afternoon. I probably got a handful of responses back from people that had just been kind of lingering. Because I don't want people that have already made contact to not kind of get in on this initial bout of them.
Absolutely.
Now, hopefully, it would only take us about another week turnaround to get a second set printed, and thankfully, there are some additional funds left over from my shipping costs to kind of jumpstart that next set of printing. So I anticipate not too much of a hiccup in the process. So if we want to keep the train going, obviously I think we're going to probably slow to a halt on interest. Now, that first couple of weeks was exciting to just kind of see how many people out there were really interested in getting their hands on them and reaching back. But come on, loyal listeners, I know you're still out there. You are not as strong as Twitter, is what I have learned. People on Twitter, man, those are the hardcores. Those are the people that are always all up in your business. And people
and
are
if
like,
you've learned anything from this, you should be burning the Kevy Metal tokens and then like ordering more.
They're very tokens. As now many of our listeners who have their hands on them can attest. I think they're spectacular, and that's another reason I'm excited about a second printing. Is then finally the
then
members
we can have some.
Yeah,
that's yeah, gonna be my first. I want some freaking tokens so I can bring them to the.
I know, so do I. I got people begging me, like, so you're bringing them, right? I'm like, I don't even have any yet, man. Fuck, I gotta order some this weekend, maybe, and just for up here, so I can bring them down to. Face or something. I'll have to figure that
again,
out.
That was our initial thought was, if Maddie wasn't busy running a business and raising children and having them beat him in Magic, that he would be able to get tokens out
pretty much
Canada. But I've kind of taken that charge under. I just need to rework my international shipping methods because I'm not used to sending this much stuff to Canada. I've really got to lower my costs in order to make that
money. Well,
as well as people. People at the Oakland post office are now very confused as to why I've been taking so much stuff there and sending it all over the globe. Like, what's this white boy doing? I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm taking, you just sound like, hey man, I have doodles of myself. I am putting in envelopes and sending it to people. They're like, really? Oh yeah.
No.
I'm
just tell them it's cocaine. See what they do.
It's cocaine.
Tell them it's cocaine and see what happens.
Depending on which part of Oakland I'm in, that's going to get a very different response, and I don't know if I want that much interest in what I'm doing.
Yeah, either you're going to get a police response or the people are going to be tearing open the envelopes for, and then seeing that there's tokens in there and being pissed off.
So, if you were one of the people that reached out to me initially, especially that lived in Canada, that I was unsure how we were going to do distribution, please hit me back. I will ship you stuff out to Canada at this point just because I want to make sure you guys are not left out in the cold, no pun intended on that. And hopefully in the next couple episodes here, we'll be fully stocked to the nines that you will not have to worry about where to get them. It will be more of when can you get into the crest and get them hand-delivered from David himself.
Yep. Hand delivered with a choke
right
to go.
Well, you might have to go to the fucking crest. Like David's gonna be going to fucking SCGLA, and I am going to try to make that happen.
Ooh, interesting.
Trying to get him to go, or trying to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm really trying to get David to make sure he goes.
Said it like he's like, I don't know if he wants to get up that early. But I'll just drunkenly be at his house to bang pots and pans until he gets his ass out of bed.
Yeah, and then goes while I stay here in Ridgecrest. I'm gonna try to make that happen. It's a fucking. It's possible. I just haven't talked to my wife about it yet, and you know how that goes.
Oh, do I ever.
How many weeks now is that event?
Huh?
When is SCGLA?
Not this weekend, the weekend following it.
Yeah, I can't.
Not this weekend, but the weekend prior.
This weekend? What?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I would have had an opening. I might have been able to go down there and meet up with you guys, but... No, 2 weeks from now I'll be in production. I can't do that.
Yeah, 2 weeks out.
Mr. Movie.
But like, still, I'd like to go. Like, especially like when they're fucking when they're doing shit like bigger tournaments, fucking in the LA area. Like, I kick myself in the ass for not going. Like, I will fly to fucking Portland, or I'll drive to Vegas. But like the LA events, I'm like, oh man, that's LA. That's not that far. But I'm not gonna go. So I actually think I want to make this one and just go fucking have some fun. Maybe I'll actually play some Magic. It'll be
what
weird.
Format is it?
Yeah, gave you a freaking deck, standard.
There you go, man, dude. Mm-hmm. It's this. You could even play mono red in standard. It's not even bad.
I do. I have.
Well, there you go.
David gave it to
fucking
me.
Get in there, dude. Represent.
I got that mono red devotion. I'm on that mono red devotion tip.
Now I've heard. Now I don't know if this is legit or not, but I've heard there's a GoFundMe campaign for a one Mr. TSG to go to GP Toronto. I'm interested. Tell me more.
My humility is really trying to be controlled here, because I'm not one for one of those kind of crowdfunding kind of things, and I really completely understand every single loyal listener out there being like, oh, fuck you, get your own way there.
Yes.
But I did have to start a campaign for the senior class film I'm working on, so I had to kind of like work out some details with crowdfunding and kind of crunch all the numbers on the back end, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not just launch one of these things for myself in an attempt to get to GP Carano? And, you know, I've talked about it on the cast plenty of times at this point, and I don't want to be one of those guys sitting on their fucking magic podcast trying to suck you off virtually for a dollar. But I would love to get there this year. And again, as a humble college student who is now living the American dream of having student debt, I don't exactly have the liquidity of income to be able to do these things. I mean, you may recall the power to horsepower drive I made last year in order to get my wife a car. And I'm still in a very similar boat now, where I'm living off of scholarships and old tokens. So
and
you get the
tokens,
idea.
He's burning David tokens right now to stay warm.
You mother! This is why you're still getting choked out in Vegas.
I figured we're all fucked anyways, man. Fuck, dude.
Yeah, you might as well
chase it at this point. What could we really fight? So hopefully Maddie will be generous enough to leave my link in the show notes for this week. I put up a pretty modest campaign here. When I was buying my flight for Vegas a couple weeks ago, I noticed that, you know, on Southwest Airlines, I can fly into Buffalo surprisingly cheap, a whole lot cheaper than trying to fly into Toronto directly. And that would really make a trip like this possible for me. So, you know, with your guys' help in the SVU, most importantly, those in the greater Montreal area. Sorry.
Montreal? Oh, holy shit, dude.
Did you greater Ontario, which includes...
Hey, man, nothing like shitting on the people that are going to fucking give you money. Jesus Christ.
Listen, this ain't a geography test, but that was a fail right there.
I know. It's who am I?
Hey, I'm trying... I'm trying
when
to
it comes to geography.
Hey. I'm trying to get gas money to GP Vegas, but I just need to talk to the people in Seattle and see if they can hook me up. Like, all our fans in Seattle, in the greater Seattle area, can you please give me gas money to get to Vegas?
Not an unreasonable claim at all. Obviously, in a dream world, fucking face-to-face Toronto would be able to pick up my tab so we could have some sweet events while I'm up there. But I definitely put my interest in making a stop by those places in my GoFundMe campaign. So, again, if you would just take a read, look it over, and laugh at the lovely picture my wife took of me, then, then we'll all have a good time.
See, so I'm telling you, you'd get way more donations if you took a picture of your lovely wife instead of your lovely wife taking a picture of you. If she were on the thing, if she's just all please, then people are like, yeah, fuck it, I'm gonna give her money, and they're not even gonna give a shit that it's going to you and getting you to buy.
Well,
it,
that's
they're just gonna be all, they're like, yeah, right on, man. There's plenty of nerds that'll just throw money at their computer if there's a beautiful woman on the screen. I mean, Jesus Christ, the porn industry is the porn industry for a reason.
I will leave the parallel aside.
I don't even know. Speaking of other other things. Go on.
It is a bit of a subject in the household, though, because I keep saying that we should go back to where I'm from, and this would be just me going, so she's not so happy about that. But I was like, look, if I'm not paying for it, then it's not my fault that I went there. It's like I my hands are tied in the situation.
My hands are tied.
Wow. But if we could get you up here, there's a shit ton we could do. We could have, like, an all-day Cubathon at face. It could be fun as shit.
To me, like, I'm looking at, like, a Thursday to Sunday kind of window. Obviously, flights are cheaper on a Sunday. But if there's interest there and there's funding there,
I had an amazing thought. Have you guys ever been to McDonald's? Like, I know we have this here at our local McDonald's. They do this all the time. Like, one night a month, they will have, to raise funds for, like, the schools. They'll have, like, whatever school it is will come in. And the fucking teachers will make food for the students. And so McDonald's has these fucking teachers come in and they do a little fundraiser thing in the evening, and like the teachers, a couple of them will get behind the counter and take their orders and like fucking make food for them. We need to do this with Face. Okay, TSG has to stand behind the counter with Tony and make lemonades and pancakes while you guys play his cube.
So
as a fundraiser,
we fly him up here so he can cook food for us. I don't know. If I'm flying anybody...
And play his cube. And play his
I'm
cube.
Flying Marcel up.
And play
I'm
his
sorry.
Cube.
If he's making food, I'm flying Marcel up here.
You just got fuck, TSG.
Trying to make these parameters. I'm in no way a cook.
That's what makes it funny is like you trying to cook. Like, while people are playing your magic cards, you're like, here I am, you know, heavy meta, yeah, trying to make fucking food. But you're going to end up making bad food, and they're going to steal your cards. So I think Maddie's idea of bringing Marcel is going to be better, because Marcel is going to be able to cook and play his cube at the same time.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, I think we will have a fun time. If we can make that happen, that would be so sweet.
I feel like I've got about 45 days where that window on flights is going to be reasonable. Again, flying all the way across country, it limits my flight options and numbers, and I don't care how much I'm raising. I'm not getting on fucking a Spirit Airlines to save my life, so.
Or you will be a
Spirit. I'll be very reasonable on my layovers and my trips, but there are a few sanity requirements that I'm not willing to forego. But with that in mind, thank you in advance for even considering it. If I were you and a listener and someone like me was asking for an offering like that, if I didn't live in the greater Ontario area, I'd probably be like, yeah, nice try, buddy. So I understand.
Well, I do like it, though.
Well, let's see what we can do. Now, another...
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Oh, that's a good one right there. Another thing, another one of the people trying to get a fund going is none other than Mr. Scotty Mack. He's trying to get to Vegas, which I know there's a few people still sitting on the fence and they're trying. Apparently, Scotty's doing a 24-hour stream. That sounds... insane.
Well, see, this is my thing. Like, I'm gonna raise money for me to get a house, and I'm gonna do it by playing video games for 24 hours. What the fuck? This is a way to raise
apparently,
money.
I don't know. This sounds fun as shit. I gotta get
God,
in.
I
this.
Missed the bus. I could have raised so much money in my youth.
I'm just saying. Look, Gummy. you just get a bunch of plates. You shoot them with a gun, and it's gonna. You're gonna make a ton of money. That's all I'm saying. The dishes.
Like
are
I said.
Done.
Dishes are done, man. I just need to, like, somebody sent me the clip. Now I just have to edit it down to where it'll fit into that, and I'll have it on my
get
stream.
It going now,
Gummy. I still have to say we need fucking GoPros, man. We can strap them to our heads and we can do all sorts of shit for your stream. That
that's what we need. We need
magic.
To do a crowdfunding for that so we can do drunken
what was the Kevy drink and draft campaign that he was trying to get going last year?
Now
if I have a GoPro on my head too, not only do you get to watch me driving around, like, we'll have two camera angles instead of me driving around town with a cop mount laptop thing fucking drunk as shit driving while I'm not supposed to be. Now you'll have a GoPro on my head so you can see how often I actually look out the windshield and see what I'm running over.
What I'm running over. Oh my God. Oh my God. I feel we are so.
No better sales pitch than that.
Oh God. Reddit's going to get a hold of that one too. And Kevy advocates drunk driving.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's game over for us as usual.
Yeah. Yeah, the last time I worried about what Reddit had to say about me, that was it.
There wasn't. I just want to say, though, before we go, if you haven't, if we go deep in the hole, if you have a chance, check out Scotty's stream. I know if he gets to a certain amount, it triggers his all-day 24-hour stream, and I think Kevy might be appearing on that 24-hour stream, which if that happens, I have to be tuning into that, because that sounds like something's gonna burn down and go wrong, and I want to be there for it. That's.
I think I only am allowed the 5 a.m. California time.
The 5 a.m.
Like, he's really hoping to not get me on the stream, but yeah.
I don't know. I think it's sweet, man.
How fun would it be though to just be like, Scotty, I know you've spent a lot of time and effort on learning the modern format. And I know
I'm gonna
you spend
burn
a lot of
your
time and effort
off.
On like, yeah, like just making the fucking, you know, making a name for yourself in this fucking community and doing a great fucking job at it. And now I'm either gonna play Burn against you and win, or I'm gonna play Burn with you and just make all your audience want to leave.
The best would just be you play like 10 games of Burn and go 10-0, and you should be like, "Fuck, I hate this, man."
I've played very, very few matches against Scotty, but I've never lost to Scotty.
Ooh, the gauntlet. The gauntlet has been thrown. I'm very curious.
And I think it's they not threw like the gauntlet you, when they said like that we were all terrible magic players.
Yeah, well, that gauntlet has been buried under many layers of dirt.
There's lots and lots of gauntlets, man. Like, I mean, you know, what, you think everybody's got one pair of gloves?
This is true. This is true. I will say this, that I had a great time. I've started something that I've been struggling with as a dad and with kids and that. You know, how do you, like, take kids through the game and, you know, teach them and find the right time? And I brought, TSG would be very proud of me. I brought the cube down, and I just have it by the, like, on this table here, on the side table. So after dinner, I was just going through the cube. And my kids are like, "Oh, what are we doing?" I'm like, "You know what? Fuck it. You wanna draft?" And they're like, "Yeah, right." Because they're like, "There's sparkly foil ones in there, right?" So we started just fooling around, and I was like, "Here's a pack. So you pick a card." And I was playing with my oldest daughter Ella, and she's like, "I couldn't believe how quickly they picked it up." So for fun, which went from like, we'll just look at some packs, pick a few cards, and see if you can build a deck. She starts laying out an actual curve, and she pulls out. She's drafting a Grixis deck, heavy burn, and then she pulls out Nicol Bolas. She's like, "You see this card, Dad?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I was gonna say that's a bad card for your deck. You're never gonna cast it. And she says, "She's like, I'm not playing this. You know why? Because I'll be dead."
Yeah,
she's like, "I'll be dead before this ever gets in." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Okay." So I'm like, "Do you want to actually play a game?" So I, of course, on the second pack, I find Oath. And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to play Oath and see." So I draft this amazing fucking Oath deck.
Maddie's trying to crush his body.
I wasn't trying. I was honestly just, I'm going to draft Oath because I wanted to show as many, like, interactions, like, because it's complicated, right? So she just drafts a very efficient Grixis deck. It's got removal, it's got burn, it's got create, it's a very good deck. And she just starts attacking me with it, and I'm like, this is cute, look at this. And, you know, I'm like, okay, ready? I'm about to go off. I've got two Planeswalkers on the board, I got Time Vault in the graveyard, I got the ready on stack, I'm all ready to do all this shit. And I'm like, ready? And she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, well, Oath of Druid triggers, I get Kozilek in play. And she's like, that's sweet. Okay, are you done? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'm going to Ray of Command it. I'm like, oh. Oh. And she's like,
your fucking daughter is crushed.
She looks at me, and I don't know if she knew, but I think she did, because she puts the Ray of Command on Kozilek, and then just waits for me to say something, and I'm like, oh. And I just drop my hand, and she's like, I beat you, didn't I? I'm like, well, yeah, I can't fucking beat Dad. What the fuck? And she said, you have to take a picture and put it on Twitter. I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. People are going to think I can't play Magic. She's like, put it on, Dad. And the picture of her, she is so happy that she's kicking my ass. So
it even looks like she's about to deck you with her left hand. She got her in the left hand.
She was so pumped. For the rest of the day, she's telling everybody, I crushed him. So tonight, I did the same stupid thing. I'm like, I don't know why. I'm like, I draft fucking Oath again. I'm going to take the card out of this fucking cube. And she just drafts Red, White, Burn. I can't believe it. I am about to go off. Like, fully, I'm ready to crush her on my turn. And I'm like, trigger, and she's like, Searing, or what was the fucking card? The Searing Blaze, I think? No, not Searing Blaze. Not Searing Blaze, it's,
Searing No, that's Blaze. The
Searing
the
Spear.
Searing
it's Blaze. The one with the spear.
Or Searing Spear, yeah,
it's
right.
Just like a functional reprint.
Yeah, and so I'm at two. And she points it at my dice. Yeah, I'm like, you bastard. And she's like, well, you were about to win.
You bastard. I like how the dad calls
her
kid.
I didn't say
it
to her face, but in my head, I'm just like, are you fucking... are you kidding me?
It doesn't come out of business.
But, here I'm thinking, fuck this kid. You came from my loins. You're not supposed to do
that. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is bullshit, man. But, you know, the good thing is, though, as I've watched them play, the wife, the good thing, this is interesting. So I've tried to break my wife into Magic many times, but it's never something that's like... you sit down and, like, they lose interest. But she's been watching the kids love it, right? So she sat down. She's like, all right, I want in on this one. And so she really liked it. So I think the key to getting your wife in and everyone playing is, like, they see the kids enjoying it, and then they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Okay, how are you doing that? So Family Cube is just something now. I leave the cube out after dinner. I'm like, all right, we'll draft around. So it's been so sweet right now.
That's kind of cool.
It's so cool. And I mean, there. The funny thing is, I'm like, as you do this, you're like Raya Command. I'm like, you're gonna play that card, and now you're gonna remember forever that card is what it does because you won a game with it. And I go, there's like 700 fucking cards in this cube. It's going to take a long time to learn them all. Fuck, I don't even know them all. But I'm like, you know, it's going to take time, but you're going to get there. And it's so cool. Like, I love it. I'm actually really impressed with how quickly the kids in this special year are loving this. Like, cube, I got to throw it to TSG again, man. I think cube is the ultimate format.
I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. I mean, I'll give you the 5 cent I told you so for the millionth time.
Yeah, but for kids, I just never thought, like, cube would be – I thought it would be so over the top for what kids would ever understand. So to see these kids with minimal magic knowledge just, like
– beating
well,
you.
Well, yeah, that really hurts. I'm going to – I am so going to post a picture of me crushing them one day.
You know, that's a lose-lose situation right there.
Probably. Okay. Probably. Oh, man, but I don't know. It's been fun. I think Family Cube's pretty cool. I'm down so far. I'm having a good time. I need to remove Oath, though. It is my weakness. It is my personal.
I need my son to be older and my wife to give a shit about magic.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? It's at the right time, right? When they're ready to want to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't for it. Oh, yeah. The best thing I ever did is just leave the cards out. The pretty pictures get them excited to, what is this? Oh. And then when they see one work, then it's over. Then they're like, ooh.
See, my 10-year-old, she likes pretty pictures. She just draws on them, and then that's
it.
Oh,
yeah. I've had that, too. Get away from them.
No. I let her go through a bunch of commons and pick out the cards she wanted and altered them. Yeah, she's a really good artist.
That's
so
sweet.
Yeah. My kid probably won't play Magic, but she'll be an illustrator of Magic. That's my guess.
There you go.
Can't go wrong with that.
That's your hope.
Yeah, my 4-year-old, she might be into Magic. There's a good chance of that. She's really, really clever and competitive and whatever. I mean, I wouldn't ever lose to her, but, you know.
Oh.
bold claim.
Oh, I don't know. You know,
do not lose your children like that. The ultimate goal for your children is to exceed you.
Me, like maybe in tournaments and things like that, but there's always going to be that you can't ever beat me. That's like, I must have gotten it from my dad because my dad crushed me at basketball. Like, I'd be like, I'm like 12, I'm like 5 foot, you know, three or whatever it was. He's 6'7". He, you know, he was all army. He was full ride scholarship on basketball. Just smacking the ball down, talking shit. And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Like, reliving your glory days? Like, God, I hope you freaking break a hip, you know? I remember talking to my dad one time. We came back and he's just like, you know, give me the whole, oh yeah, beat you, you know, but back in my day you wouldn't even had a, you know, a chance in hell. And I'm like, I don't even have a chance in hell now. What the hell are you talking about? I was like, you know what, dad, you're gonna pay for this in the long run, because nobody is gonna want to take care of you when you're senile. And then you're gonna go to me, and I'm just gonna put you in like hot pink leather pants. I'm gonna put you on a couch out in front of the house, and I'm gonna let kids pay a quarter to poke you with a stick. And the look on his face, like, what the fuck? And I was like, that's what you get. Like, you know, you keep this shit up.
The best, what you should have done is you just said, wait till he's like 65 going senile. He's like, oh, you want to come live with me and I'll take care of you? He's like, yeah, please. I'm like, no problem. And you just give him a basketball. We'll play for it.
Yeah,
but I can't fucking do it. Oh, I'm going to smoke your ass, old man. He's just like smacking him with the ball and shit. That'd be horrible. Oh, take your dick out. Stick it in a thing of cheese. It'll all be better. It'll all be better, folks.
Take your big ass to get a cheese.
I think I heard that in a Chappelle Show skit once, but I'm not 100% sure. Oh, gentlemen, this has been an interesting
one. Are you high out of your fucking board?
Yes. What?
We haven't even touched anybody's Twitter.
Oh,
yet.
Shit, the hole.
With our fingers?
Okay, I forgot.
If you... You really want to rile him up?
Before we get to the Twitter hole, before we go down the Twitter
hold
hole,
on. Wait. Mm-hmm.
Who are you holding on? Like, who is being shushed here and who's talking?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hang on. Wait.
Yeah, exactly. And then nobody talks. All right.
Exactly. The important thing.
You son of a bitch! You shut your mouth.
The important thing is.
You know it's hour three of Heavy Meta when.
You guys were both very quiet and wondered who I was asking the question to.
So anyway, before we get to the Twitter hole, I have updates on the charity.
Yes.
Stuff for Vegas. It turns out that we cannot give them magic cards.
What?
They could get other things like the Funko Pop, you know, things and whatnot, but we can't actually give them magic.
Because they have Satan involved?
No, it's more of like because it literally says on cards, like, fight this creature, destroy this creature, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, fun shit.
So they don't – yeah, it is, but the most important thing is just – you're raising money for the kids anyway. So I think we're going to forego the actual like gift baskets and going and meeting the kids and stuff. So we're going to focus on the tournaments and the fundraising aspect of it and then just give them, you know, the money.
Right on.
And so what we're going to do is we're organizing different tournaments. And certainly anybody that's going to Vegas and that wants to have input on what they'd like to, you know, or have any ideas. But right now I think we're focusing on like a booze cube tournament, a regular cube tournament, and a couple constructed, whether it's standard and modern or one or the other, whatnot. But we are going to have, we're going to have some sort of trophies. It might be play mats. Something along those lines for the winners. And then I think the other way that we're trying to raise money is off of the Heavy Meta versus A-Team, tournament. And they're going to make a winner's trophy and they're going to make a loser's trophy, much like Sacco from
Roxton. Oh no.
Yes. Yeah.
You get dicks and everything.
Oh God.
All
I know is that me and Kevy for sure now are going to be running around screaming Gattaca and having murder boners. And it's just going to,
Gattaca!
So that's where we're at right now. We're going to forego the gift baskets and send a magic to the kids since they won't let us do that. And we're going to have,
they won't let us send us our Gattaca dick trophies.
Yeah, so there's that. The other thing that they asked is if you are interested in going to Vegas and you do not have a place lined up, they need, I think, two more spots to lock up the other house. And so contact Tommy at T-Moles and Shane, which I think is Death Right Magus, on Twitter. Either one of them to, you know, register for that house and, you know, give them the money for that. So that way that's all paid for and funded and they'll have food and everything. I think there's a couple queen beds from Tuesday on, and then there's a king size bed from Thursday on. And the prices, you know, are a little different for those, but,
that's awesome. I didn't realize there were even like empty spots available right now.
There are a few more empty spots. So if people are looking to get in on that, definitely contact one of those two fine gentlemen. Get on it. So now we can commence,
firing
the
Yeah. Commence firing in your hole.
Firing things into a Twitter hole.
Firing
pop the top and stick your finger in.
All right. Well, we just.
Hey, check to see if yes. Check and make sure the cheese is like still legit to sell on the shelf.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. Maybe if we had those Heavy Meta. Actually, do you know how awesome it would be to have a Heavy Meta butt plug as the lid for a cheese container? So you like open it up and the dick part is like in the actual cheese that leaves the impression. Oh my God.
Then you gotta like put your fucking fist through like the butt plug has like knuckle things, yeah. Right? So then you gotta put your fist through the cheese and then get around the lid and that seems like a terrible idea.
I didn't say it was a good idea. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. All right. So we're going down the Twitter hole. Here we go, folks. I'm not even sure we're going to start here, but why not? Let's start with Salty Alt. Which is the better podcast, Brainstorm Brewery or Money Draught? Follow-up question, why is it Money Draught? Draft? I don't even know. Why do they spell words with weird letters in them? I'm not sure.
So this feels like picking favorites when you really we shouldn't be picking That's, favorites.
Well, oh, yeah. Clearly he's There's picking no way favorites.
I can pick favorites.
Yeah, well, we love all of our friends equally. If they're people that have insight about Magic Finance and yell at each other all night long, which is very entertaining, or if they happen to also, for some reason, include Jason Ault, as though he has monopoly on this question, but also include the lovely Slick Jagger and his money draft millions. And I mean, I got to give it out. I got to give it up to JR. I love that guy so much. I mean, not only does not only does he like continually express his strange love for me and how he got into magic through the sound of my voice, which again, if you ever need to confess that to me, I'll gladly
Now this sounds like a
bias. I haven't heard this before.
Yeah.
No, there was great stories during the few moments of clarity during Portland where JR was so drunk he like looped the circle into sobriety again, where we had some good conversation.
Yeah.
But then on the last episode of their show, he was so fucking out of it because he was actually at Slick's. So he was able to drink. He was able to drink as much as he needed to in order to really express his feelings. That it's hard not to love JR. So on a personal level, I picked JR, but on a podcast level, Brainstorm Brewery is probably mildly more informative. But we love all our friends.
I'm not sure. Some of the episodes of Money Draft where they go into deep politics and stuff like that out of nowhere, like
they're a lot more informative at times than Brainstorm episodes, but just informative in different shit. Like informative on like how I don't know. Slick and JR feel about the world at any
about
given
technology.
Moment, and how Jason feels about Slick and JR at that given moment.
You know, I'll say this: there is shows that you can expect what's coming next, and that is Brainstorm Brewery. And sometimes, you know, you want a safe glass of warm milk before bedtime, and sometimes you just want to straight drink Fireball whiskey out of a midget's anus, and that's fucking Mighty Dark Millionaires. That's not a bad thing. Because never know
without
what you're
the midgets
get.
In the anus. Without the midgets in the anus, that was pretty much like nailed on the head. Like, I mean, if I could have been like, you know, if I want to just get drunk and crazy tonight, like we don't have to drink Fireball out of a midget's anus. But that's, you know, that's what you get sometimes. Maybe you didn't plan on drinking Fireball out of a midget's anus. But that's what you get.
Can I just comment one small note on the side here? That Kevy doesn't react. Like, I love him so much because you could say something that's clearly not true. And he will react to it because he's experienced it. He's not shocked. He's just like, yeah, look, sometimes there's a party and shit goes weird. And then that's just what you expect. Because sometimes that's just what you get. And
sometimes you run out of cups, but there are plenty of empty assholes still usable.
Hey, do you know that midgets are the most positive people in the world? They're always looking up.
No, Canadians are.
No, they're always looking up, man.
There's a difference between politest and positive.
I'm pretty sure there is no difference.
All right, that's fair.
No, you can be positive and you can be polite. Hey, Maddie, your example this evening, you were polite as fuck. But you were not positive or happy about that situation.
I was a negative politest? Wow, that's fucked up right there.
I think you just encapsulated Canadian in a nutshell.
Really? We're negative?
A negative
We're negative politest. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, that's Maddie's next token, creature. Like, fuck Voice of Resurgence token. You're a negative
politest. Oh, I'm working that in. I'll work that in for sure.
You are a 3-3 negative politest.
The creature needs to be.
That makes TSG like a 2-2x negative politest.
Yeah, he gets -1/-1 for being anywhere warmer than 10 degrees.
I feel like we've like locked down two out of three of us, or four of us. I feel like Kevy is definitely a 2-2 skeleton this next time around, and Maddie is the voice.
Oh, it has to be modern playable. 2-2 skeleton. What there is there even a 2-2 skeleton?
You can't give me 2-2 skeleton.
Yeah, you got.
Are you trying to skew the numbers here? Hey, how much did fucking David pay you for this shit?
He just wants to make sure no one. You
trying to skew the numbers?
Well, okay.
Because, like, goddamn nothing on the planet
look,
makes 2-2 skeletons.
All right, we'll split the difference. You'll be a 2-2 zombie. I'll need you for my cube for
look,
sure.
Kevy, look, I've already got Stephen Raffel working on his art. He's the Batterskull Germ token.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the riding his own cock Batterskull token. Wait. That's going to be It's our new life. Step that into coverage.
I'm pretty sure that token is going to be again. You know what sucks? This is what makes me angry. I'm like, Lingering Souls everywhere. We're going to give David Lingering Souls, so he's going to outdo everyone. But then, out of nowhere, someone picks Kevy as a fucking driding his cock. It's going to outsell everyone again. Fuck. Like, fuck. That's, I don't even know what to say. Fuck. That's all it is. So it's up to you.
Fuck.
TSG.
Fuck. I think Maddie may have outdone me for fuck.
Oh, I have it.
Is that the first time in like 120 something episodes that Maddie has outdone me?
As Kevy just says, fuck eight times
episodes.
But we need a token for TSG. That's the thing. I don't know. We have to find.
There's still plenty of
time. Yeah, we need a modern token though. I want effort on modern.
So though. So like, you're thinking David Spirit. Yeah. You Voice of Resurgence, Kevy, like Batter School isn't even
yes,
played.
Yes, it's
format,
all over.
It?
It's almost in every deck, man.
All right, I take back nothing I've said. All right, that's fine.
I take back nothing.
You know what you could be? You could be a Pester Mite or a Deceiver X-Guard token.
I said that on the last show. And
oh,
you
I did. All right, well, fuck that. That's a stupid idea.
Hey.
Yes.
It could be a fairy token.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I would not mind being a fairy rogue.
Actually, look, if I don't know if anyone saw the picture of the Pro Tour where Sifka was in his underwear. Did you see that on Twitter? No?
Mm-mm.
I don't want to see
that. Well, this is the thing.
Yeah,
so,
no.
I'm not clicking on whatever link
you
sent.
I saw it in my feed because Owen Tweetenwald, he responded. He's like, can someone please get Sifka some pants? Because his cock is just literally hanging out his underwear. So we could probably turn that into a fairy token.
Ew.
I know. It's ridiculous. I'm just saying. God. Go check your Twitter feeds. All right.
No, I'm
and
not
when
checking.
You're saying, like, oh, and speaking of Owen Tweedenwald, I am very upset at the entire SVU for not laughing harder at my stupid pun of ridiculous. I think this is the greatest word in the world, and I'm going to turn it into a thing. But everybody else can suck a dick because I'm gonna say it all the time.
This was ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know if it's that good. I'm just saying. It's okay.
No,
it's not,
somebody.
It's not
somebody
sandwich.
It's not sandwich.
Say, like, no, it was only sandwich good because somebody was talking to Reed Duke on Twitter and said that's ridiculous, and I was like, do you mean Reed Duke?
That's so bad. That's so bad.
And I thought it was fucking hilarious. And
somebody
so
probably
Scott
thought you were
one.
LSV on someone else's
yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah, that's
account.
An LSV joke. That's it's
oh,
yeah. a dry.
Yeah, it is an LSV joke. But you know what? Whatever. The only person that fucking loved it out there was fucking Scott. And me and Scott are trying to figure out a fucking ridiculous fucking sign and blood t-shirt.
Oh my god.
So
you know
everybody
just take it and ram it into the concrete. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going
what are,
to.
What are we
I'm
talking
going
about
to.
Now?
I'm going to ram it into somebody's ass.
Again, there's no words
hey,
necessary.
You know what I'll do? Yeah, actually, no. Hey, Durfington, can you please just put a t-shirt on me that says my deck is ridiculous on my next token art so that everybody will accept it and
oh
buy
God.
It?
All right. So this is, wow, look, this next question is perfectly timed to this. G.U. Doug asks us, if you had to pour a liquid on your cereal that wasn't milk, what would it be? I guess a type of cereal could be picked as well.
Probably Pabst
wait,
Blue
what?
Ribbon on my Cheerios.
Oh, that's gross. Ugh. That is fucking disgusting.
Are we,
I almost
wait,
threw
wait,
up a
wait,
little.
Wait, go back. What was
okay.
this? What was
I'll
this
read
again?
It slower for you. If you had to pour a liquid
yes.
onto your cereal that was not milk, what would it be? And I guess you could choose a cereal type as well. Very easy.
Rockstar.
Okay, on what type of cereal?
Oh my god. So vile.
You like Rockstar in like really Snap Crackle Pop. He doesn't care what it is. Just Rockstar.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
like,
not going
to
taste
like,
a cereal.
Like Fruity Pebbles. Like yeah,
oh,
like,
that
fruity,
is
like,
gross.
Fruity Pebbles and Rockstar.
Wow.
Oh.
Better just than my
no,
beer.
That's disgusting. I Pabst Blue Ribbon should not be drunk.
Oh. Yeah, yours is gonna taste like just fucking terrible.
Do you know what that tastes like? That's like if someone took a warm piss into a glass and the glass had like congealed eggs
and
in it.
No, just like little bits of like fucking
or tofu. It's gross. That's like, disgusting.
Yeah. No, you just make a piece of toast, like just dry fucking white bread toast in the toaster, and you tear it up into pieces, you put in a glass of warm piss. That is pasta and cereal.
That's, Oh, that's gross. As far as the liquid, let's see if I can be interesting here. Oh boy. What would go well? Is there an alcohol?
Cambodian breast milk.
That's still milk.
Yeah, it can't be milk. It can't be milk.
Oh, Dave.
No, it's Cambodia breast milk in a set of left-handed golf clubs.
What? I think if I could pick a cereal, let's pick something crunchy that won't turn to sogginess. How about cashew? Nice crunchy shit. And then you could probably pour something. Actually, I got it. How about a Kahlua mudslide over cashew? That doesn't sound too bad.
That actually sounds really good.
I was expecting the Canadian to go with maple syrup.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
Yeah,
oh,
I forgot.
I forgot where
God I damn it, I forgot yeah. Our mother god, the beaver, who, you know, shoots our mother god.
The beaver. Our mother god, the beaver. That was an awkward
No, the mother
all.
God. The mother god. Okay. Yeah. The mother god, she chips away at the trees and lets the maple syrup run free.
You realize most people's mother god is a beaver, right?
I didn't say our religion wasn't well thought out. I'm just
unless you're like Chandler on Friends.
Well, no, that
like,
guy's not a Canadian.
most people's mother god is a beaver.
I don't even know. As long as you don't go to Walmart, I think it all pans out.
Yes, we've just stopped giving a shit at this point, folks.
Okay, Jim Castle, Frost _ asks, what instrument, sorcery, or artifact combined describe each member's personality? Wow.
Whoa, that is a
deep fucking question. I could say this: do we do our own or do we do each other's?
What are we doing?
We have to pick
again?
An instant sorcery and artifact combined that describe us, our personality.
Jeez, wait, all of the above?
One of each.
I think I could see this right now. So mine would be, okay, let's see. How about Lux Cannon, Become Immense, and Lightning Bolt? No.
Winning by going first, I see.
A giant growth. Giant yeah. growth.
And he's had the question for a while.
That's true.
Got it thrown on
yeah, us.
Yeah,
off the cuff, three magic cards to describe us. Jeez.
Yeah, that's hard. There's so many. I don't know.
You gotta pick all three of them, or is it just like pick a different fucking instant sorcery?
Okay, well, Kevy, you're easy. You're fucking obviously the lightning bolt. Your sorcery, has got to be what?
Actually, it's probably
Deathmark. It's probably I would even say it's Deathmark.
No, it's...
and then your artifact, Shrine of Burning Rage. Boom, right there. You got it. That's you, dude.
Charbel.
I think
that actually is
accurate.
Not bad.
Raging Gumby's artifact is trying to
No. Yours is Mimic Vat. Cause you like to do voices. See, I'm going deep on that shit.
But yeah, that one was
not
good.
Bad. Yeah, you could.
You thought that
actually,
one out.
Actually, Kevy's could also be Hellvolt. which I think makes a lot of sense. Cause he exiles people until it blows up. And then it comes out.
I mean, this question's crazy. I mean, you can if we're doing it for each other, we could just like
we could be really good.
Do all sorts of stupid.
You are a giant ball of mirrors.
Oh God!
Actually, Gumby is.
What do we do for
you know
TSG?
What Gumby is?
Wait. Okay, TSG. Okay. I want to hear TSG's answer on this.
Oh, that.
My sorcery is Ancestral Vision. Because I'm going to have the knowledge for you.
That's
it's just
true.
Not necessarily going to be at an instant.
Okay. Logical. Your artifact is Pandora's Box.
That's not a
it
card.
It is so.
Isn't
it
mean
from Theros? I fucking totally screwed.
See, I would say the same artifact.
It was the knowledge. That was actually on recall level because that was instant.
Well, I would say that my artifact is Jamie A. Tome because I am also... full of the knowledge.
That's what you'd say. Is there an artifact
here?
Full of hot dogs?
Nah, I mean, like, you could have, like, think of this.
I'm pretty sure that's, you can't all be knowledge, buddy. I don't know. I'm just saying.
That could have gone two different, completely different ways. Realized. Is there an artifact full of hot dogs?
Oh shit, I just realized that. Oh, woo! Yeah, that's, wow, if you want to read it that way, yeah, that's like playing a Beatles record backwards right there. That's fucked up.
Oh, right, what do you? You know what's awesome is that I feel like this podcast has devolved into, like, now we're just a bridge. If any of you guys remember that podcast from a long time ago where we're just drunk and yelling things at the
moment. I think we're doing pretty well. Our peak levels tonight have been relatively decent.
Oh, God. Are we done with this one? Because this one's crazy.
We've kept our levels moderate. We've kept our total conversations about our cocks to moderate. We've kept our total number of threatens to rape peoples to moderate. I think we're doing
well. now you've threw it out the window.
Hey, I want to go on record and say I never threatened to rape anybody.
Oh my God.
I just offered to gangbang them.
You know, as your editor,
I didn't say we were gonna ask for fucking permission or anything.
Kevy, as your editor, you can't make that claim. I've been here for 110 episodes. I'm pretty
that's
sure.
True. Yeah, that's true. I got yelled at for posting shit on Twitter about rape.
Don't you remember the episode where the Jews tried to steal the foreskin of young babies? I'm pretty sure that episode. I'm pretty sure there was a few lines that were crossed. I'm not 100% sure. But.
Hey. Didn't we have Aaron on that episode? And Aaron was the one that was insane.
Oh, I don't know. There was a lot of rapiness going on there. It was bad. But in all honesty, when we say no, I was just about to say when we say rape, it doesn't mean this, but that's not true. There's only baby seals suffer in that case. But that's.
So we blew that quota. I shouldn't have brought it up, should I?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have. You opened Pandora's box, which is apparently not a card.
Which is a card now.
All right. Next Twitter hole. Will we be able to recognize at Kevy Metal and at Maddie Studios after at Raging Gumby beats the shit out of them?
No, probably not.
Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will. My face will be caved in, but I will still be the guy that's riding in on Raging Gumby's shoulders, dressed like a completely inappropriately.
Like a complete inappropriately.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was ridiculous right there.
My answer is I will make sure that you can recognize them. It will just be a bloated, distorted version of themselves.
You see,
you guys are all gonna recognize my cock on his nose as I'm riding on his shoulder.
Why would it be on his
Who
nose?
Who needs dental records when you have heavy metal what? Penis?
Wait. Why would David? How are you carrying him that he's facing you? Like, what? That's wrong.
No, think of it like this. You see David walking towards you, but David looks a lot taller than you would think he does in real life. And then you realize all of a sudden, oh shit, that's Kevy Metal on his shoulder. Well, it kind of looks like Kevy Metal. His face is kind of crushed in on one side. It looks kind of awkward, but it's dressed like Kevy Metal. But, oh, there it is. And yes, my dong is hanging down the front of his face.
I don't know how, and just
resting gently on his nose.
I don't know. Hey, I'm not like, cool. Hey, I don't know how you guys do shit in the crest, but we don't carry people like that.
I was gonna say I don't generally crush people's faces in and then give them a freaking ride on my shoulders.
A shoulder ride.
But he gently cradles their penis by his cheek. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not judging. No, I'm not judging.
Hey, I got a silver tongue. After he crushes my face, and I'm like, you know what would be fucking sweet, man? We're going to fucking walk into this bitch. You're going to carry me on your shoulders, and we're going to pretend like you're an elephant, and you've got a trunk. And then you're going to put your hands behind your ears, and I'm going to lay my penis across your face. David's going to be like, fucking sweet. Sounds like a good idea. I feel like an asshole because you have to chew through a straw now.
It's your last request before you die.
Exactly. And then is there like the first time I'm all, Maddie, and I keep running up on like my own accord and give you a big hug. I'm going to be all, Maddie, and give you the elephant fucking tusk. And you're like, well, that's weird.
And then I'll be like, now it's your turn.
I'm scared because I have a feeling I would look exactly the same, but my inner innards would just be like, completely destroyed. He'd like beat me with a telephone book in a way where he'd leave no marks, you know? Like, I'll strangle your fucking shit and not leave bruises. I don't know.
And David's going to bring a sock full of David tokens. So it doesn't leave any bruises.
Beat you with my sock full of tokens so it doesn't leave bruises, so that way when the cops come, it'll be like a domestic dispute.
We were just playing cards. I don't understand.
They're like shit and blood and, you know, bent over, but there's no bruising.
He's gonna sharpen the edges on a couple so he can just cut a couple.
I'll just look at you and like in that menacing tone, you had food poisoning, right?
Shit and blood. And the cop is like, why is there an imprint of a dragon on your left cheek?
It's okay.
The cop would be like, why is there an imprint of a tube sock on your left cheek, Kevy Metal? And everybody in this room is going to be like, oh, well, Kevy's into some weird shit.
He fell asleep by the pile of laundry. All right, so what else does the hole got to us for tonight?
All right, this one's a little deep too. Reg Damage Cast asks, "What's the best and worst thing about being you? And if you couldn't be you,
holy rabbit shit, is this The View? Did we turn in the fucking View?
Yeah.
Wow, there was so many yous and not yous.
This is actually pretty sweet. Repeat the question, just to
make sure. Basically, what he's asking is, what is the best thing about being you, and what is the worst thing? And then, if you couldn't be yourself, who would you rather be?
Is that what he's asking?
Now, okay. Yeah. Basically, it's the best and worst thing about yourself, and if you couldn't,
well, the best thing would be my pile of Kevin Metal tokens, and my worst thing would be my huge box of David tokens.
I got this. The best thing about being me is being able to fucking do this podcast every week and actually talk to you people about Magic, even though I know fuck all about the game. I'm not a good Magic player. So that's the best thing about being me. The worst thing about being me is, well, I mean, not really anything.
Of course.
It all comes up tits with Kevy Metal.
I mean, you know, there's that. There's lots of fucking things that, like, suck about being me that I just don't want to get into on the internet. And then if I couldn't be me, if I had to be somebody else, who would I be?
You'd be Raging Gumby.
Fuck that.
That motherfucker doesn't move any tokens.
Careful, I think.
That motherfucker knows. Like, I mean, Kanye West has got a lot of tokens.
Oh, Kanye is the biggest piece of shit.
Kidding. I'm kidding, Jesus Christ. Guy's a fucking terrible pile of shit.
Aggressive.
That wasn't even close.
I will go on record and saying Kanye West is a terrible pile of shit, just to make sure everybody heard me right and doesn't get it wrong on Reddit. Like, Kanye West...
You wouldn't rape him now, would you, Kevy?
...is a terrible pile of... I wouldn't waste my time raping Kanye West. That guy's a fucking... That guy is human garbage. If I could be somebody besides myself... Does it have to be a real person?
No, like, I do not.
I mean, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
You can't be like, I would be Superman, game over.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
I mean, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be Batman, Superman. No, like, you got to, like, come up with somebody real.
Yes, we know.
Who the fuck would I be?
You sound like
a Muppet, doesn't he? Yeah.
Kermit the Frog.
Hey, everyone.
I'm sorry, I just knocked my fucking headphones out of my shit.
and I tried to recover. It didn't work, apparently.
Spooky.
Ah! Okay.
And this is the part of heavy metal where we all diverge into Muppet voices.
Damn it, 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 damn it.
Kevy, just imagine a person at a geography test.
He would be Vin Diesel. Texas. All right, moving on.
I would be Texas.
All right, Gumby, what are you?
Oh God, what's the best thing about me and the worst thing about me? Shit, I don't even know. Like, I'm so terrible at this.
This is like a job interview question where you have to make both sound great.
Yeah, it's really – well, I mean, in a job interview, it's easy because you know what they're looking for. So you just feed them a pile of shit and, you know.
Welcome to podcasting.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be honest. Like,
I'm kidding. I love you guys. God
welcome to being part of the Heavy Metal SPU. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I just take a different approach to podcasting. Apparently, Kevy thinks that you all guys want to hear about his dick and raping random people and whatnot. But
I've been trying to distance myself from rape since Reddit decided I was a rapist.
Well, way to go by mentioning it like 80 times tonight. It's working, bro. It's totally working.
I'm gonna have to
like let you and TSG go. And
all right, I would say the best thing about me is my family, but that's a corny ass episode. So I'm gonna just say the best thing about me is that I'm fucking cool and funny and awesome. And the worst thing about me is
I'm fucking cool.
The best lay on the planet.
No, I'm probably not. I would say the worst thing about me is that. Now, is this the worst thing about us or our lives?
No.
Whatever gets us an answer.
You look at it as being the worst thing about you.
All right. Well, the worst thing about me is I'm too busy.
Maddie's buying time like I was.
No, I just have too. There's always so much work to do and shit. So that sucks. I don't have a lot of free time. And if I could be anyone on the planet, holy fuck, I think I'd be. I don't even know. Is there anyone I'd even give a shit to be on this planet?
Scarlett Johansson's husband.
That's not bad. I would. I'll go with that. That's pretty sweet. I'll take that role. Does he play magic?
I mean, if he was you, he probably would. And then he just gets to bang Scarlett Johansson.
Then he settles for a divorce.
Let me jump back and say if I'm going to be anybody on the planet, I'm going to be Johnny Depp. I get to be a fucking pirate
Keith Richards
all the time for like four fucking movies. I get to be a fucking pirate for four movies. I get to be fucking older than Jesus. And still, like, wear eyeliner.
Jesus.
And fucking, like, I'm going to go Johnny Depp. Like, fucking women still fucking crave over that dude's loins. And that dude's older than bald. So I think Keith Richards or fucking Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is older than male testicles. That's awesome.
Yeah, older than balls. Like, older than balls.
What came first, Johnny Depp or the Johnny testicle? Depp.
Yes!
The chicken or the egg. That's just a variation of that question.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a tricky question. Like, Johnny Depp or the testicle, because Johnny Depp has testicles. One of them had to come first.
Like I said, chicken or the egg. What about you, TSG?
Well, I think that the best part about being me is the amazing support circle and group of...
We don't give a shit! Johnny Depp or testicles! I love you.
I mean, I'm kidding. You're winning either way here, buddy. Does it really matter?
Okay, the best thing about you is your cube. What's the worst thing, though?
No, okay. No. The support I have, friends and family that are there for me to help me out, to allow me to...
Son of a bitch.
To go to school at this late of an age in my life, I feel like, to feed me because I'm bad at that, thank my wife. For people that are just willing to listen to me talk, because that's the only thing I can do a lot of. The worst thing about
cunt.
The worst thing about me is that my name still needs to be bleached from the internet, which is unfortunate because I can't use it currently, and I'm still in the process of being able to. So fuck that. That's the worst thing about me.
Change your name.
And if I could be anybody else right now, it's got to be J.J. Abrams, because then I would have control over the future of Star Wars in my
hands. You know, I think the worst thing about you is you go last, and you think of everything and look really smart. I think that's the fucking worst. Yeah.
I could have gone first on this one, you fuckers, but you chose to do something else.
Now you make me all sad. Like, I want to change my answer again. If I could be anybody else on the internet, I want to be TSG before the internet fucked his name up.
I see, that's fucking sick. I want to be that too. That's awesome. All right, Gumby, go for it.
No, because of this poor motherfucker.
All right, like, I still don't really have a good answer to this. I would say, like, the best thing about me is I'm, you know, really open-minded. I take people as they are and don't really – I'm not much for, you know, being down on people. I'd say the worst thing about me is I'm prone to murder when people mess with me about my tokens and shit. So I really feel like I'm going to face some murder charges in the future. No, I would say
that TSG, like, TSG said that he said that your token was bullshit.
No, I mean, the worst thing about me
is I like to murder people.
I would say the worst thing. No, I got a good answer to this one. I am very lazy. If I don't absolutely want to do something, it requires an act of God to get me to do it. Like, I am the worst procrastinator ever. I have to wait until it's absolutely mandatory for me to do it if I don't want to do it. So I'd say that's the worst thing about me. I'm really bad about that.
I mean, what I'm hearing from this is that you want Kevy to be banging pots and pans at your house to make sure you go to the SCGLA event again. So
No. Yeah. See, that's the thing, is I want to do that, so I'll do that.
Want
no problem.
To do that.
It's the things that I don't want to do.
I need him at my house banging pots and pans to get
there you
to
go.
The SCGLA.
Yeah, no, if it's something that I'm interested in and want to do, I have no problem doing it.
As long as
it's kind
of
like the only thing I can compare it to is, like,
it.
When you're a kid, it's impossible to wake up to go to school because you don't want to. But if you're going to fucking Disneyland, you'd be up at like 4 a.m. That's the way I am about everything in life. So
absolutely.
That'd be the worst thing. And
I feel like we're all that guy.
Oh, I guess I'm not special then.
that was great, Kevin. You stole the thunder, right, Thunder? He's like, hey, your answer is trite.
All right, I guess the worst thing about me is that I'm just like everybody else, apparently. now, if I could be anybody else, shit.
You'd be the dog from Up.
I have not seen that movie. I've heard that it makes people cry, so I don't know what the fuck.
Jesus.
I don't want to be anybody
exactly.
Else.
Have some balls, man. All right, Stephen Burns, Speedy Warrior. I think he's a new follower to the SVU. Welcome along, Stephen. He says, would you rather fight a dick-sized Kevy or a Kevy-sized dick? Wow.
Easily a dick-sized Kevy. Come on. How is this a question?
Like, are you sure?
Yeah, no. Like, a Kevy-sized... a Kevy-sized dick is barely bigger than a dick-sized Kevy.
No, I think one of them is bigger than the other, isn't it?
I'ma beat this dick like it owes me money.
Wait.
What if you're not afraid of either?
Well, it has nothing to do with fear. You can be, you know, scared and still fight it off, but...
Fine, I'd rather fight a dick-sized Kevy.
No, it's harder to grapple.
A dick-sized Kevy... is going to be yay big around and like 6 inches tall, or you got a fucking Kevy sized dick is going to be the same big around, but like.
Hold on, wait. So, like, explain to me, like, how am I getting it off? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not getting it off.
How am I getting it off?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I meant Maddie's taking the choke off.
Maddie's trying to learn how to choke it out.
Oh my god!
I didn't mean to say get it off. I meant to say, like, the challenge that you're in front of you.
The challenge of choking it out.
Okay, oh my number god. One, you can't fight something that's right. 6 inches tall. It's not manly enough. I would the challenge.
No, you have something that
this is coming from the guy that punched a midget.
There's a minimum size requirement, and then it's not fair anymore.
You literally have the same guy that's 6 inches tall or 6 feet tall. That's okay, it. Like the same girl.
Well, no, but we're not fighting.
It's
we're
either
not...
6 inches tall,
but
or
we
six
are not...
feet tall.
Kevy's a dick, no matter what. So.
Oh well, that could, is he referring to the metaphorical dick or the actual dick? Good point. but I think he's referring to the anatomical dick. So I would rather fight a 6 foot tall dick because fighting a 6 inch dick.
Yeah, but fighting a 6 foot tall dick with a fucking ring the size of your house in the end of it is like gonna be ridiculous because like the ring is small when it's a 6 inch Kevy. But when it's a 6 foot Kevy, the ring has to like amplify in size. And so it could just knock your head
but
off.
But isn't that a chance? Wait, last week we were fighting fucking dragons. Now all I gotta do is fight a big floppy penis? Like, fuck, I could take that shit and in my sleep.
That's true. I'd say.
More quotes of the day.
Wait, did I just say that? Fuck, oh.
The re-edited version of this episode is off the chain.
I could take that. That's wrong. You know what? This question sucks. Fuck Stephen Burns for fucking giving us this question. This is bullshit. This is all full of traps. It's got traps in there.
That's not even a challenge. I can take that big floppy dick in my sleep and I know just how to get it off.
Oh man, get this. Fuck this, man. Where's Tasker when I need a buck? I don't even need this.
Oh, my face hurts.
I don't even need this. We don't fucking. This episode's over. Fuck this. This whole show is. This. I hate this fucking hole, man.
This whole thing is like you guys can all.
This fucking hole has got me in so much trouble.
All right, would you rather have fingers as long as your legs or legs as long as your fingers?
I don't want to fight a fucking dick with fingers as long as my legs. I just that's gross.
Maddie,
what?
You have one way out. You can pull the fucking.
Oh man, no, because I don't want to say that. That's the thing. I already look fucking wrong. I don't want to say go fuck yourself. Cause then I'm gonna say it like while I'm sleeping. I don't want to go fuck me. I mean yourself. And like, wait, can you tell a giant dick to go fuck itself?
That's your only way out, man.
Oh man.
That's the only way this episode ends. You can always hit the.
Oh, we have an abort button. Where is it?
Yes.
That just sounded awkward.
Well, hey, this you know what?
That just made everybody feel awkward.
Look, if you're trying to smash a fucking round thing in a square hole, it's just awkward, right?
Where did the fuck did that
Because
come
you
from?
Said it was awkward. I'm just explaining that there's, you can't, look, if your asshole is square-shaped and your penis is like triangle-shaped,
what?
You just... They don't fit. Well, actually, penises make a square if they're triangle shaped.
To licking the cheese, we went from go fuck yourself San Diego to licking the cheese to if you want to stuff something into a square peg into a round hole. And then, well, it makes sense because you're licking the squares in the hole.
I never said licking.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I never said licking. I just said that either if... If something was square shaped and there you had triangle shapes, it would take two triangles to fit into the square shape. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's common math. This is high school math, folks. This is not even complicated.
This is high school math.
This is like algebra 101. I don't know what everyone's issue is. Anyways, Tasker doesn't have to explain himself to anyone. That's the thing. He doesn't have to explain himself to you or this fucking Twitter hole or anybody. He is what he is. You respect him.
This is high school math, San Diego.
I gotta fix a lot of things in there. That
No. You can't edit this out. You gotta keep your floppy.
You gotta keep on keeping on.
You gotta keep on keeping on.
Oh, you gotta keep banging that square floppy dick into your round hole.
You know what? Like,
I take that thing in my sleep. What the fuck? Why do I say shit like that? That is just the worst quote I've met.
Now that we've actually gotten away from the cat, I've got to say, Jesus Christ. Kristen.